someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
You're out of
mouth
to it, man. Emotes amazing. Emotes
astounding.
Living monstrosity.
Monsters.
Hey, you wanted the best, you get the best. Let's talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters Mornings, Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. That's a great way for you to listen to the show. You can check out live radio. For those that don't understand, it's iHeartRadio. It's an application. It costs you nothing. Okay, it's free. And then you can get, you know, the radio station, Real Radio 104.1, live anywhere you are in the world. And then we have a podcast part of that, you know? So if you want to listen to the podcast, you go to the podcast section, type in Monsters in the Morning. We have our own channel, and it's a way for you to hear the entire show from the past 3-4 months or whatever. So you all have enough monsters to last you a lifetime on iHeartRadio. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we're doing this until around 11 o'clock. The producer's the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera. To my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the time never stop, baby.
And Savannah Gatorland Gladiator.
Fighting for the rights of alligators.
I like that.
I like it.
Gatorland Gladiator.
Fighting for the rights of alligators.
That's better than Instagram model.
Yep, I like
Gladiator,
it.
Gladiator? I just met her.
Oh!
It's only 6:01, Angel.
I couldn't help myself.
6:01!
I couldn't help myself.
Trust me, I thought the same thing, too, when I wrote it down. I was like, it's funny.
I'm sad that I didn't.
it was a low-hanging fruit, that's for sure.
I'm sad it took the second time he said it for me to get it.
Welcome to Wednesday morning, man. Beautiful day. It's going to start getting cooler throughout the weekend, and I'm excited about. We've got a lot of stuff going on this weekend, which it's the holidays.
It's going to get down to the 40s.
It's going to get down to the 40s
next week.
I know that upsets some people because there are a lot of people that hate the cold, but I don't know. It gives you a reason to put a jacket on, and it's nice outside, and it's supposed to be like that this weekend. How do the gators act at Gatorland when it's cold like that? They don't move, right?
They do not move. They don't like to do nothing when it's cold, and so maybe once a day they'll get up in the sun, they'll stay there the entire day, and then at night they'll go back in the water because the water's 74 degrees all the time.
Yeah,
because it's warm in the water. I got attacked by a goose yesterday, just in case you guys were wondering.
By a goose?
Mm-hmm. There's a goose at Gatorland that hates me.
Geese are... Okay, is it goose, geese, or swans that drug dealers used to buy to put in their yards?
Geese. Okay,
because they'll chase you.
And they will chase you. Yes, they will. And they will bite you, and they will try to hurt you.
So drug dealers in Miami who had really nice places or whatever, they would get a bunch of geese and put them on their property because they'll chase you off.
I've never heard that story.
They're very territorial. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I know the geese will
super territorial.
And they honk. They honk.
And they will come after you. And so there's this one goose at Gatorland that thinks it's the boss of the world, I guess.
What's he sound like?
That's dead on. Every time I walk by, it feels like it needs to come holler at me like that and try to bite me every single time.
Hey, let me remind you guys, by the way, if you want to participate in the show, this is a very interactive program, by the way. That's what's great about talk radio, about real radio, is it's interactive. You can talk to us. We'll talk back to you. It's like you got your buddies in your car with you. You can text us at 77031. It's powered by David Moss Toyota, and basically it's a texting service. I got a little screen up here, so does Carlos, so does Angel, and we read what you guys are sending us. Sometimes we'll say it on the air. Sometimes we'll text you back. So, and we get to see everything that you're writing. So if you think you're sending some secret message to Angel, telling Angel that I'm such an a-hole, I'm seeing it too, just so you know.
Is awesome.
Or if you're sending something about Carlos,
never happens.
I get to see it.
And if you're sending it about me, I don't care. I don't get to see it.
And I don't show Savannah because she'll get all mad and then she'll start throwing stuff at me thinking I'm pointing out for a reason. So yeah, Savannah won't see it for sure.
Yeah, because I don't care.
You can email me russ@wtks.com. That's if you've got a longer message to get us, or you got
a
question or something that you want to know about, and then I'll read them on the air, and you'll get everybody's opinion, and sometimes we have a lot of fun with it. I've got several that I haven't gotten to yet. I'll maybe get to some of those today, but today's a busy day. Got a lot of stuff going on. We have an astronaut coming in today.
We do?
Yes.
What?
Astronaut John McBride will be here.
Cool. John McBride? That's like a that's like the astronaut.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Live in studio today. Thanks to Kennedy Space Center.
What's his name?
John McBride.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating story with him.
He's a big deal.
Yeah. His twin brother, I think, broke the record for space. For the amount of time in space, and then they were able to study them of the effects of space on twins, because he's a twin.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Really, really fast.
He's and a naval officer?
His brother's married to Gabby Gifford.
He's an astronaut.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at pictures of him right now.
Yeah, he's going to be here today. And
very
also,
cool.
We've got Nerdy News coming up a little bit later today, and, of course, To the Top and Savannah. And old Ross Pageant will be here, Monster Comic of the Year. People love him. So, yeah, big busy day today. So I'll try to get to the email. And a lot of times people will send me email like the day of, and it's like pertinent, like time pertinent. So I'll have to kind of get to it today. So if that happens, you know, we'll do so. Yes, Angel.
No, going back to the geese thing, the only time I've ever had an interaction with that is the swans at Lake Eola.
Yeah.
And the only reason it reminds me of this is that, it's one of the times where I took the little one out there. She's probably like 3 years old.
Yeah.
First time we're at, you know, they have that real cool park out there. She sees a swan for the first time. And she, and because of cartoons,
right?
And because of make the way the cartoons make these animals seem so
it's human, anamorphization,
human like.
Yes.
She literally beelines and goes to hug one.
Aww. Right,
and she went to like, and I had to like snatch her up, and I was like, no, because it's gonna bite your face off.
Yes.
Yeah, they're vicious.
Yeah, I understand they are mean as hell. But so the one that was chasing you at Gatorland, did it get you?
Yeah, it bit me in the leg, but I ran away quick, and they picked her up. He likes everybody, just doesn't like me, and that's fine. We don't have to like each other, but I don't go out of my way to get into your space.
Right.
So don't barge out of your space and come after me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, that's a good. Yeah, yeah. Hey, tomorrow night's our Christmas party.
Yep, we're all going, right? Everybody?
I'm going for sure. I'm not successfully in the Christmas spirit yet, though. I did do the decorations.
Why not?
I don't know. I'll put on Christmas music, and I'll get two songs in. I'm like, I'm not ready for this yet. Just not, you know, like, because we've got still a month of it, and I don't want to burn it out. Is anyone listening?
Have you ever had Christmas fatigue?
Fatigue.
That's what you're describing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pace myself. I don't want to out Christmas myself already. But
okay.
We're only 6 days into December.
Okay, you know I have a little weird, some weird things about me.
No, not at all.
You hush.
I don't even imagine.
You're wearing a shirt that says bacon on it.
I want to keep it special.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to water it down. You know what I'm saying?
I
want to keep it special. So it's red hot Christmas feeling. You know, those last 2 weeks.
It's
or
all Christmas.
Here's
man.
What you should do. You should go through every genre of Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they play Christmas music every day, all day long at Gatorland, all day long.
Christmas
I know every Christmas
music.
Song. And even though I don't even have decorations,
uh-huh.
like, I'll catch myself like in the shower singing Christmas in Dixie, snowing in the pines.
Is that Dolly?
I don't know. No, I think it's Alabama.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but
yeah.
All day long. So you could do like country Christmas. Uh-huh. You could do like techno Christmas. You could do like all different versions like every day.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll get you in the spirit.
Mm.
Even if you don't even realize it's happening.
Okay, all right.
I do have to break in here. Thank you, texters. I was totally wrong with the astronaut. 100% wrong.
Wrong astronaut.
Wrong astronaut. Who I was thinking of was Mark and Scott Kelly.
Oh.
Yeah, they're the twin brothers.
Are you losing your voice? Or
I just said it's just raspy today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I was just screaming.
Sounds kind of sexy, I'll be honest
thank
with you.
Why do you think you got a text pointing out something that
several.
Said wrong?
Because I was wrong. And I'm glad that they actually pointed it out. Because
okay.
I'm no astronaut specialist. I'm actually not even Team Space. I'm Team Ocean.
And that's what's great about this texting service.
Yeah, thanks,
it makes us, you know, we're interactive. We
but
make a mistake.
How do you
we
know
say
those
some,
people are right?
We say something stupid. They can correct us. And
but
it's
what
perfect.
If they're not even correct? Like, what if they're wrong, too?
That happens.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
But second I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, they're right.
That makes us check our facts, though, Savannah.
I don't know. I do know the name McBride, though. That I mean,
well,
no,
yeah.
Look, this guy's been here before.
Okay.
He's done special events with the station. He's done stuff with Jimmy when Jimmy's been
got
out
it.
There.
Okay.
He's been a bowling tournament.
Yeah, he's been. He did the bowling the bowlathon
okay.
that we've done. Yeah, we're familiar. When you see him, you'll be like, oh, okay, I've met
got
this
it.
Guy before.
Got it.
So okay,
kinda
so
want to meet the other one, but.
Savannah. Talking about getting in the Christmas spirit.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I did get not only have I been getting a bunch of email and also stuff on our Facebook. Facebook, but then I had yesterday the internet department got a hold of me, and there are people that want our old Christmas songs. Remember, we used to do Christmas songs, monster Christmas songs all
yes,
the time.
Yes.
And they're wanting to put some of those on the website, and they asked me, well, which ones do you want? And I don't really remember them all.
I don't either.
I don't remember which Christmas. I mean, I know there was a Chief and Snooki Christmas song that was really popular. And Santa Claus is Coming to My Town that you and Bubba did.
I don't know, but I think somebody might want to review those before we start putting them out on the
internet. No, we can on the website, we can put whatever. No, it's fine.
And I understand that part of it. Yeah. I'm talking about the other side of it. We might want to go through those first.
Yeah, different time. Different time. Feliz beat me up. I'm thinking of Police Beat Me Up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, several stuff on there. Probably can't do. I mean, it's pretty raw.
Oh, I think that's what would make people go check them out. You know what I'm
saying?
Maybe. You know?
Maybe. I'm going to check them out first. I know that.
They're looking for hits on the website. So when we come back, here's what we're going to do. I said it. Then I'm going to. Okay. Here's a chance for you guys to help us, you know, find the best Christmas songs to put on the website on Real Radio 104.1.
This is Christmas season, so there isn't any reason we can't dance.
What's this? Christmas
I love this song. I don't even know what it is.
The Christmas polka.
Christmas polka.
Well, I love it.
Welcome back to the Monsters. Mornings on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Ronson with Angel and Savannah and Carlos.
Just
all
for the
here
guys
today.
Guys that are worried about burning out on Christmas.
Not me. I listen to Christmas music all the time.
Yeah,
me
at
too.
The house, and I love it. But December 26th,
you'll be done.
If I hear one Jingle Bells, I punch the radio.
Oh, dude, Christmas music goes all the way through New Year's.
No,
yeah, it does.
You crazy?
Stop.
Yes, they do.
They do not. No, they stop on the 26th.
No, they go through New Year's. Yeah,
I don't believe that, guys. I don't think it goes to New Year's. Yeah. Why? That's ridiculous.
No, it's still considered the season.
Yeah, because nobody's here. Everyone is still on vacation.
I'm going to challenge that.
I think they
do. Challenge it.
I just threw the challenge
flag.
I'm pretty sure three days after Christmas, I remember hearing Christmas music.
Yeah. 3 days after Christmas is not New Year's.
Yeah.
It's still festive holiday music, though.
Right.
And the majority of people are still in festive holiday mode.
I don't think so, guys. I think they go right back to the cool hits of Chicago.
Because of the competitive nature of what's been going on, a lot of these stations are playing more and more, and they're starting earlier. And they're going longer with the music.
Yeah, the Jesus station thinks they can play Christmas music longer.
They can.
They do.
Guess they kind of can.
They invested. They can.
And that's what people want to hear during the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
It does change your attitude. I mean, I'm not anti-Christmas, but I didn't decorate or anything because I'm almost never home. But
well, yeah, you work like all the time.
But when I hear it out, when I'm out and I see other people's decorations, thank you guys for decorating because I think it's really beautiful and it lifts my spirit. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
And people, I think, forget that, like, they just expect things to be decorated. But it really is a beautiful thing when everyone in this season decides to make their houses and homes look beautiful and festive. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, you know.
I like Christmas.
I walked outside the other day and looked outside of my house, and I've got one of those, is it called a GoPro or what?
Laser light thing,
you know. I'm like, okay, that's good enough. Yeah. And then my next door neighbor. Put like blankets of lights in their bushes and their hedges, and I'm like, oh man!
So you just had the laser light, Russ Rollins? That is so not you.
I had a
Angel.
Snowman.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked.
Yeah, that's as low like work
that's
that you
as
have to
as
do.
Minimal effort as you can get.
Yes,
is that?
Yeah, but I mean, like the inside is decked. I mean, it's pure one crazy Christmas inside.
That doesn't explain it away though, dude.
Right.
Knowing what we know about you this last year, I'm surprised that you don't have like all the same brand Christmas decoration.
Absolutely,
that's basically just thrown up on the side of the house.
That's exactly what happened. I walked outside and my neighbor just put all her stuff up, and I'm like, damn! Now I gotta.
It's better than yours.
I feel like I gotta compete with it. You know.
Do.
Really?
Yeah, that's the deal of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is competing with your neighbor.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Competition is the thief of joy. No, it is not. You do not have to compete.
Did Confucius say that? Where'd you get that from?
Yeah.
I just know words.
competition is the thief of joy.
Well, yeah. She used to say a queef of joy. That's no. Like, yeah.
Did you make that up or did you get
no,
that somewhere?
No, competition is the thief of joy. And I did read it somewhere, but I can't remember no, where. Competition, and I can't quote.
Competition can be fun.
I think it was Gahande.
No, it was not Gahande.
Yeah,
I know who Gandhi is, bitch.
So now I feel like I do have to go and get lights for the bushes.
Oh, you ain't nothing unless you got a couple inflatables.
Yeah, man.
I know that's tacky. No,
says who?
Listen, yeah. Listen. I got.
Don't let somebody brainwash you to think that's tacky. You can get the right one. Look,
yeah, you got to get the right one. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They've made a come up lately.
I grew up with tacky, so I can identify tacky. I know what tacky is, and the inflatables are just tacky. They're there's not a good one.
There is.
Oh, give me a good. What's a good inflatable for Christmas?
30-foot Mickey dressed up as Santa. That's the one I want.
That's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. It fits every festive magical theme.
What about the big snow globe ones,
I
right?
Love them all. I love them all. If it was up to me, my entire lawn would be filled with different mismatching
That's
floats.
That's great.
And people would come and sign a visitor book because I know I did it to the crazy Christmas
the one
house.
In Castleberry?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That it was no theme. Yeah. It was like he looked at his yard, he's like, I'm gonna shove as many dolls and lights and there was Snoopy. There was Mickey, there was Scooby Doo.
Is that like, Bart Simpson with Pete's Dragon? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
But
has nothing to do with Christmas.
Every year my family and I would drive down there and look at it as if it was the Osborne spectacle of lights.
It's amazing. And how good did you feel every time you saw it?
So good. And I want that for my husband. My wife won't let me.
The Osborne lights, they're not doing them this
year,
are they?
Yeah, they're not doing it. And I'm sure the people who put them up were like, hell yeah.
We don't have to screw with that.
I mean, every time I look
sure
at
they're
them,
like, oh, man, we don't have a job because someone probably complained that we were using too much power because we're a sensitive society.
No, it was at a Universal.
It was at Universal. It was at Hollywood Studios.
Oh, weren't they people, though?
Hmm? Yeah, they work at the park all year long. They do stuff.
The Oslos?
The Osbournes.
The Oslos.
Yeah, the Oslos.
The Osbournes were people, and it was some town up, some small town.
Alabama or something like that.
Here we go. I just found it for you. This is what you need at your place.
Uh-oh.
You need the Batman Santa Claus inflatable.
What?
See, even
Boom.
I know that's tacky.
Boom. Wow.
It's Christmas. There's no such thing as tacky
Can
on Christmas.
Can we see it? Can you we know, see it and put it on the website and see what people think?
Batman and Christmas don't go together.
Oh, come on. So you're saying he doesn't have a Christmas heart?
The Dark Knight Rises, dude.
He don't like no Christmas. He's too busy beating people up. He ain't got no time for Christmas.
I wish it was a Batman Santa Claus. That would be super awesome.
Bat Claus?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's not. Hey, Angel, I got a question for you, and I know you hate this question, but I want to bring it up
to
you. And it's about the podcast. I keep getting emails about the podcast. Is there something that we want to direct people to, for people to hear the podcast of the show, direct them to
iHeartRadio app.
And it's there.
Yeah.
Go to the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, okay, there's some people that used to get it another way, but the way you get it is going to the iHeartRadio app.
If anyone's having a specific issue, email me directly.
I want to clear it up on the air everybody go to
iHeartRadio.
Monsters
in the Morning. It's the one with the orange background is the logo that you're looking for, and you have to download it there.
Yeah. So if you go to iHeartRadio and go to the podcast section, you type in Monsters of the Morning.
In the search engine, just Monsters of the Morning, just scroll down the middle of the page. We're there, and it's an orange logo background.
Right. But if you try, well, here's what people I think are doing. They're trying to find it just by going to iHeartRadio, and they type in Monsters of the Morning, and it doesn't come up. You've got to actually go to the podcast section, and then it'll come up. So if you're confused and you can't find it, that's the best way to do it.
I'm confused about the explanation.
No, just go to the iHeartRadio app.
Okay.
And there's a podcast section. And you go to the podcast section,
okay,
and you type in Monsters of the Morning. Bam, our own channel.
Okay, that might work for you. Literally, it's iHeartRadio.com. There's a search engine or search box right there to the right-hand side.
Right.
Monsters in the Morning, and we come up mid-page.
There you go.
You don't have to and across the top, it says, My Stations, My Music, Live Radio, Artists Radio, and then search box. Monsters in the Morning, boom, and you're good. And if you have any other issues, just email me directly.
Yeah, boom. Yeah. We'll make it easy for you to go to. But it's all if you just go to monsters.fm or the iHeartRadio app. All right? You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Status updates.
Are you really complaining about traffic?
That don't suck. Facebook.com/RealRadio. Orlando.
Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
From Real Radio. 104.1.
Oh. There ain't nothing more depressing than a pine tree.
Hey, welcome out to the Monsters. Mornings on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos and Savannah all here today. Guess what national day it is today?
I don't know.
And I'm, gosh, okay, because of, you know, when I was born, I might be the only one that can remember this coming out and it being a big deal. For you guys, I think it's, they've always been around. But today is National Microwave Oven Day. And I remember when the microwave oven was just, you know, like the first one was in a house.
Yeah.
And it was my grandfather. My grandfather was the first guy in Charleston, West Virginia to sell televisions in Charleston, West Virginia. He had the first TV store. And then when he moved down here, one of the first people to have a microwave oven for the home. Now, they had microwave ovens like it was invented in like 1942 is when they were invented. And in the 40s.
Like industrial ones kind of?
Yeah. It stood 6 foot tall and it weighed over 700 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
The first microwave oven, right? But the one that my grandfather got, a Papa, was about this yay big. It was pretty big, like the size of an oven. But I remember he brought it home and everybody came to his house because he was going to use the microwave oven. And all he ever made was cornbread.
Cornbread?
Oh, yeah. In the microwave oven?
Because they didn't know what to do with it. It's right. Like, well, what are we going to do with the microwave oven?
There was no TV dinners yet, right?
There was
nothing. Yeah.
No. There was nothing that was made for the microwave.
No industry yet.
And I remember we just kept making cornbread with the thing is all they could figure out to make with it. But
cornbread? I didn't even know how you make cornbread in a microwave oven.
They mix up some solution and then put it in the pan and then put it in the microwave and like, look, in 2 minutes it's going to be ready. And, you know, they hit the button and we were all mesmerized. You know, by it. But that was, God, that was early 70s. I remember it being such a big deal. But think about now. I mean, 95% of the households, they say, have a microwave oven. 95%.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's a given pretty much anywhere, right?
I have one. I don't use it.
I use mine every morning.
Yeah, I use mine all the time.
Yeah, I don't use it.
I don't ever use mine either.
If I do use it, it's to reheat. I don't cook anything in there. Mm-hmm. Because of things that I believe or whatnot, breaks down the nutrients of food.
That's what I was going to go to next. Yeah, they say that a lot of people feel that it breaks down the nutrients of food.
It's not proven, though.
A lot of people think also, too, that
I looked it up after we talked about it. It's not 100%. It's not it's a theory.
It's a mystery right now. Yeah, yeah. It says also, too, that a lot of people think that, you know, using the microwave will give you cancer. But the guy that invented it is Dr. Percy Spencer lived to be 76 years old and had and he worked with microwaves his entire life, and he died of just natural causes. He didn't have any cancer either. Nothing seemed to hurt him from working with the microwaves his entire life. But yeah, some people believe that cooking food in the microwave gets rid of the nutrients and the vitamins and the minerals. And then also, too, scientists think that it could cause cancer. But, you know, like I say, 90-some% of the households have microwave. Now, what do you use your microwave for?
A lot. I mean, everything. I mean, heating up stuff, just those little healthy lean cuisine steamers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we didn't just buy a toaster oven. So we love that. That's awesome.
I use mine for thawing out rats.
Nice.
What do you mean thawing out rats?
Thawing out frozen rats.
So you have frozen rats in your freezer.
Right beside the popsicles.
That you have to feed to the snakes and the lizards.
Yeah.
So you thaw them out in your microwave.
Yeah.
Well, see, now I would never want to use your microwave for food.
Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah.
It's just a rat microwave.
God almighty.
They got to have food. Oh my gosh. It's completely customary.
I guess so, yeah. I thaw bread in it, and that's pretty much what else do I do in a microwave? That's really, yeah. But there are people that cook entire meals with their microwave oven.
It's a whole industry. The TV dinner industry is built on that. The microwave dinners, you can do that.
Yeah.
You know?
In order for a microwave oven to actually work, what has to be inside of it? Does anyone know?
Some micros waving.
No.
The plate?
Spinny
plate?
Not the plate. There has to be some kind of water in whatever you put in there.
Oh, I see.
If you put something, it says, that's what it says here. If you put something there that doesn't have water, it will not work.
What?
Yeah.
You don't spit in your microwave before you use it?
Wait a second. So I take pasta. Well, I guess there's water in the pasta.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Because that's what it does. It heats up the whatever liquid is in that. That's what it's heating. That's what's making the micros. You know, micros. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's what's making them work. According to this right here.
Okay.
I love Banquet microwave fried chicken.
Oh, it's disgusting. I used to love
so
it.
So good. No. It comes in a box for like $8. And you can eat it every day for like 8 days.
I used to love the fried chicken TV dinner as a kid. I used to think that was like the great, and the little brownie that was always kind of burnt around the edges gooey in the middle, and then some busted ass corn. I never ate it.
Busted ass corn.
But I had it again. Like, I was like, well, let me try.
A microwave one or one of the oven?
No, yeah. The microwave one. It's gross.
Yeah, I'd never liked anything that was TV dinner in the microwave. When I was younger, it was Swanson. It was in a tin thing, and you put it in the oven.
Yeah.
And that was always the Salisbury steak, man. That was always awesome. Really good. But anything in the microwave, I never really.
What's that? Marie Callender lasagnas?
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
Those were good. Yeah.
Amy's burritos?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So if you had a choice between you're buying a house or you're getting a place or whatever, and you have a choice between having a microwave oven or having a
toaster oven.
But it's not as fast.
It's all right.
I mean, it's pretty fast. Like, it heats up very quickly.
I don't mind. I'm not in that big of a hurry, dude. When I'm cooking for the kid, it's actually quite fun. You know, so it's her and I in the kitchen, and we're doing our thing. And then if it's just me, I don't need to, like, you know, it's not that difficult to turn the stove off and just warm up everything real quick.
Yeah. Dude, if you're going to, like, every house I've ever either rented or bought or whatever, there's always one provided. The microwave oven is already in there. I guess you can go to, like, Target or Walmart or whatever and buy a microwave oven by itself still, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Like countertop microwave ovens? Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you can't toast bread in a microwave oven. That's the thing.
No.
It's
it'll mess bread
up. The one thing I know about the world of food is there's no way to rush toast. Like, toast just has to take its time. No matter what else is ready, it's always the toast that drags you down.
You know what I just got 2 weeks ago? Somebody sent me a Batman toaster, okay? Batman toaster. So
you're going to take a Batman toaster and you're going to get at me for doing a Batman Christmas inflatable?
Yeah. Well, Christmas is
Christmas is
Jesus,
toast.
Jesus and religion and stuff, and then you don't want to mix those two.
Oh, I'm sorry. But, what's the whole Santa Claus thing?
Jesus knew Santa Claus. They used to hang out.
Oh, geez.
And you can see Jesus on toast.
That's true. but it's a toaster, and when you put the bread in, the bat symbol is on the bread when it pops out. It's pretty cool.
That's so
someone
dumb.
Had sent it to me as a gift, but I mean, like, I wouldn't have bought it if I'd have seen it at the store. I probably would not have bought it, but someone sent it to me, and now I'm like, ooh, that's pretty cool.
Sure.
So you come to my house, I'll make you a sandwich that's got toasted bread with the bat signal on it.
It's kind of cool.
See, I know what to get Savannah. The industrial ones where you put the bread in the top.
Yeah.
They have it at restaurants, and it takes that nice slow roll, and then it drops it out the bottom, and it's perfectly toasted.
Yeah, I worked at a breakfast restaurant. I used a lot of toasters, but if there was ever one line at a breakfast restaurant, it's always the toaster.
Because
you can't hurry it up. You just gotta wait.
Hey, in the microwave, okay, so if you try to do, like, oatmeal in the microwave, you always have to put some sort of a top on it, right? Because if you don't, it always goes everywhere, and then getting it out is, you almost have to get, like, a shovel to get it, because it hardens so much. I always don't know exactly how much oatmeal to put in the container, because it always bubbles over.
It has directions, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Well, if it does, I don't read them.
Oh, well, that sounds more realistic.
Yeah. Because, I mean, well, no, they don't tell you what size bowl to put it in. Because any size bowl I put it in, it always bubbles over and then gets everywhere, and it's a big friggin' mess.
I'm sorry about your oatmeal issues.
You got some big problems.
These are oatmeal problems. Anytime you put something in the microwave, you always cover it, right? Because if you don't, it splatters all over the place.
I only cover it when my wife's watching.
I cover mine because it's rats.
Yeah, I mean, I'll cover it sometimes, and then sometimes I'm like, I don't care if it splatters. If my wife's watching, I'll be like, of course I put it on there every time, and they cover it.
You know what the worst?
She's the one who cleans it.
The worst thing I think of in the microwave is, and I think back when I was, like, in high school, and I was trying to lose weight for wrestling or whatever, and my mom would, like, watch me as far as what I would eat and make sure I made weight
You're
and all this stuff.
Getting fat, Russ.
Yeah, and you gotta lose 3 pounds before the match on Friday. And so she would do like a chicken breast and just put the chicken breast in the microwave and cook it. And it's like eating rubber, man. Yeah. It is the most bland.
I can't believe your mom did that. She seems to have a lot of pride in the stuff she makes.
Oh no, but when it was wrestling, it was either I didn't eat anything or you could eat this chicken breast. That's all you get. And she would stay on me about my weight to make sure that I made weight, because you know I'd gain 10 pounds and then lose it before the match, and it was terrible. But if you put a chicken breast in the microwave, it could be the grossest thing you could ever eat.
Pork chops worse.
Other than those little rats that you're.
Yeah, other than the rats.
Yeah,
the defrost is a little tricky in the microwave.
What do you mean?
Right? You know, you want to defrost something, and then you're like, how much time? They do the whole pound thing, and you're like, I don't know, okay, this is 15 minutes. And then you open it up, you're like, oh, damn, it's half cooked.
15 minutes?
I don't know. I rarely defrost it, but every time I do, I end up cooking a quarter of the whatever meat it is or whatever it is.
I know they have contests, and it's like chefs, you know, like Dirty Jim loves all the chefs and the people that cook them. They got chefs, and the rule is you can make a meal, but everything has to be done in the microwave. And there are chefs that, you know, that's kind of their
who are the judges? Like a bunch of 6-year-olds?
No. It's like
microwave magic.
No, like culinary great people or whatever. You know, they'll judge it. And I guess there are some people that have mastered the art of microwave, but very few.
Well, there's a new thing out now. It's like, it's a crock pot. It's a sous vide.
I love my crock pot.
Yeah,
the new pot is crazy.
No, but it has like crock pot, microwave, pressure cooker. It's like 62 things in one. It's like the hot new item.
Well, that sounds cool.
It's made by the people who do the crock pot.
Yeah.
I can't think of what else. It does everything. And the lady's like, I put the chef. That's what made me think great chef people.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't even use it. And it eliminated 19 of my pieces of equipment. Makes bread, you know.
It's like the new hot item too. It's like remember when the George Foreman grill came out?
Right.
It's the equivalent to that. Like if you haven't ordered one right now by Christmas, you probably can't even get one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
people,
you know,
still
what?
Use Foreman's?
It's like an Omnipod or something like that.
I think Scott York had it on Facebook the other day. I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, is it okay? Have you guys? Is anyone here? And I bet, I don't know. Jimmy's not here. Obviously, he's on vacation. For those who are wondering, he's off for his birthday. But the art of using a pressure cooker. Have you ever used a pressure cooker?
Man. That's the one device I was always terrified of.
I hated it. The sound and the smell.
Well, that's how you make the best beans, though.
That's what I know. My mom used to cook something in there, and when I hear that, I'd be like, oh, God, what does that smell?
And I wonder how much pressure is actually in that pressure cooker. I mean, how much?
What do you even use that for? Rice?
Well, in our house, we would. That's when the way they would make the beans.
Yes,
really.
For rice and beans. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
My mom made green beans in it, and I think she would put like a pork roast or something in there.
In the pressure cooker, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else too that reminds me of is that Lee's famous recipe. When God bless him, what was his name? A super nice guy that owned it. He passed away, but anyway, he was telling me that the way Lee's famous recipe makes their chicken so good is they invented a pressure cooker. It was a pressure cooker fry. You could fry it and pressure cook it at the same time.
What?
Yeah.
That's technology right there.
Pressure cook and fryer. That's good. I want one of them. But no, I've never done anything with it.
According to this, you can pressure cook almost anything.
Really?
Yeah.
What is pressure cooking?
Can
really?
You make diamonds in a pressure cooker?
No.
I think also what you do is because that little knob on the top kind of lets the moisture out. So you mixed in your whatever your protein or whatever you're cooking, and then with a certain amount of water, and it cooks it at pressure. I don't know exactly what per square inch pressure is in that device, but I just found like 25 good recipes to cook with a pressure cooker. Pressure cooking chicken noodle soup.
I think you can do more with a pressure cooker than you can a microwave oven. But microwave ovens, you know, 95% of Americans have them in their homes. In the South, did your mama
crock
use
pot?
Does your mama use a microwave?
She'll use a microwave now. But my daddy hates it, but she'll use a microwave now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To cook what?
To cook whatever she can. My mama just had gastric bypass surgery.
Oh, your mom did?
Yeah.
So that means she's all skinny now?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her. I just think that's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it.
So she lives in Chiral.
Yeah.
So did what kind of a doctor did they get in Chiral to do that kind of...
Oh, I think they went out of town, like, to a fancy doctor.
Yeah.
We're going to cut up in your stomach and make you skinnies.
So now, like, there's certain things that she can't eat that she might have been used to, like, you know, from what I understand...
Like pork rinds?
Well, no, like, you can't... I guess you can't...
Anything carbonated.
Soda, you can't have any soda, and she used to drink soda like crazy, right?
I don't know. know. I don't know. I just found out recently, so I'm kind of miffed about the whole entire thing. But, you know, in the South, it doesn't really matter what you cook in. You're eating a lot of fat. Like, that's just how it is. That's just what it is. Like, we would have fried cornbread patties in the morning for breakfast. And that's bomb. And then you put it in a bag so you could take it with you to wherever you went.
So here's what I've learned about people that get the gastric bypass. It's great for like a year or so. And then most of them, not say most, several of them that I've known have gained the weight back.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think she'll change the way she eats?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wish her the best. I just don't know.
Yeah.
It's a, it's a strange thing.
There was a time here in the building where, like, everybody was getting
gastric. Yeah, I remember that. Like, five people here.
Well, because at that time, insurance would cover it, so everybody was like, yeah, that's a good way to lose weight.
I'm fat. I'll do it.
I'll do it, yeah.
No, the sad one would be the people that weren't fat enough, and then they'd go on these binges to get to a certain weight.
so they
could get the guy, because I know people here that did that.
I know that too. Yeah. I knew people that.
I think we know the same.
Yeah, in order to get the surgery, I have to have my BMI. You know,
what's
my
that?
Body. What is it?
Bowel movement index.
It's a body mass index.
Mass index has to be so high. So I need to.
Because you have to be grossly or morbidly obese is the term that. Yeah.
So you'd be at like 35% fat or whatever. So they would have to eat up to get to 35% fat just so they can have the surgery to get down to. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But it's out of all the surgeries, from what I understand from people I know in the industry and everything, it is the nastiest of surgeries, and it's very
a lot of complications.
Well, because you're down in this area where there's a lot
in your grunt.
Yes, there's a lot of bacteria, and if you make any mistakes or whatever, that bacteria can spread. It's kind of a risky. Yeah.
It's really, you got to be careful when you're digging in your grunt or your growler.
Yes, you do. So have you talked to your mom since the surgery?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
You got to check on her and see she's okay.
No. I mean, I will. There's just a lot of, like, I think about where I grew up. Like, I grew up in the Deep South. And there's just a lot of sickness and sadness there now. Mm-hmm. And so if I try to move away from that kind of stuff, like, I like to stay here in Florida where I feel like it's sunny and happy and positive and motivated and moving and powerful.
Right. Would you that's considered cosmetic surgery, right?
I don't know.
Gastric bypass?
I think it's changed. I think there was a time where it was considered a quote-unquote medical procedure, but now, as time has gone on, I think it is considered, it is obviously an elective surgery, right?
It's elective surgery, right.
So I think it is considered in some certain, it's not covered by insurances anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, at least the insurance this place has.
Yeah. So what age do you think it's kind of, and of course, I'll probably be that age and still want to do it myself. But you know, you look back at some people and they're like, man, if you're in your 70s and you're still doing cosmetic surgery, like, why? You know, you know, it's not like you're looking for a new mate, or it's not like, you know, people aren't accepting you for who you are. Like, why do cosmetic surgery after the age of 70, you think?
For modeling, probably.
For modeling.
I mean, I think so.
So your mom's going to do some modeling.
I don't know. I'm just saying, people in general, I don't understand it, but whatever. It ain't my business. I'm not judging at all. I'm just judging my mama, which is okay. She judges me too.
Yeah, look, I ain't mad at anyone that does it. I just wonder the motivation, you know, of after a certain age.
It's vanity. I mean,
it is vanity.
Yeah,
vanity is such a grand evil.
Yeah,
I mean, cut and dry is vanity.
And let me say here, I'll pay me 85 get a facelift. You know,
y'all listen, don't understand. Russ has been campaigning. He wants to do a Botox party during the show here in studio,
or me and the girls at wine night.
Yeah, Bunko.
Right. They do that. You know, they'll get together, they'll do bunco and do Botox parties.
Which is just crazy.
Yep.
You know, so you let one of your friends shoot you up in the face.
Drink some wine and laugh and giggle.
They have fun. So whatever. 407-916-1041. All right, listen, we got a trivia question coming up. When you participate, all you got to do is give us a call, 407-916-1041. You could win something from the old prize pinata. We got all kinds of cool prizes today. We'll find out what they are. And your chance to win, okay? So here's your chance to win on Real Radio 104.1.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white on Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
To admit our preoccupation with short-term solutions in exchange for something shiny. Is that a new iPad? Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio. Real Radio 104.1.
All rise. All rise. All rise.
Grandpa Live in the house now.
Hey, the Triple R segment of seven is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. That's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. If you're going to purchase a home, this is who you want to talk to. They're licensed lenders that can help you buy a house. Brad Siebert and his staff have helped a lot of people that I know. Actually, they've helped me buy my house. One day I decided to buy a house. 3 weeks later, I'm moving in. That's how easy they made it. They work at night. They work on the weekend. They'll keep you informed with what's going on with your loan throughout the entire process. Really great people. They've helped a lot of people. I know my daughter bought her house thanks to WeAreNotTheBanks.com. A friend of mine, Maggie, she got her house. A lady here, Diane. A lot of people that I know have bought a house with WeAreNotTheBanks.com, and they can help you too. Give them a call at 407-636-9808. Get a loan even if your credit score is 580 or less. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert can help you out. Here's something really cool they do. They have a portable office. It's like an RV, and they bring the RV to the closing, so you don't have to go over to their office or anything like that. You just walk outside, do all the paperwork in the office, in the portable office, and you're good to go. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Go to their website. Check it out. Call them at 407-636-9808. WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Thank you, Brad Siebert. Hey, Angel, let's see what prize we have today in the prize pinata. Everybody can play along here, and you can try to text us the answers if you want at 77031, but whoever gets through and we get them on the air, they could win a prize.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company. They offer both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, depth in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, excellent customer service. Go to the website, centomoving.com, that's centomoving.com. You hit the start quote button, get the process started. Let them know that you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1, and there is a discount for Monster listeners. Let them handle your next move, make it painless and easy for you. Up first, we have a pair of tickets to the AutoNation Cure Bowl at Camping World Stadium on December the 16th. Multi-platinum recording artist Andy Grammer headlines a pregame tailgate and concert at Tinker Field. Concert admission included with game ticket. We got Tinker Field opens at 11 a.m., concerts at noon, kickoffs at 2:30. It's an all-day event. You have fun out there. For more information, visit RealRadio.fm, keyword cure. Bringing teams together to find a cure for cancer. That is the Cure Bowl.
Cure Bowl. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Hold on. This kind of froze on me for a second. Sorry.
Do we ever figure out what football game is there or just Andy Grammer?
So the projected, it's Georgia State University versus Western Kentucky University.
Okay.
We have three bowls that are going to happen at Camping World Stadium.
Yes.
And there's a couple ways you can get packages to those. But we got some really cool college football coming to be played there the next few weeks. So the first one of the first three bowls that we'll have there.
A couple years ago, I went to one of them. And it is a lot of fun. Even if you're not really familiar with the teams, it's just it's good football. Everybody's excited. It's fun.
We have a pair of tickets to Horton's Holiday Hayride starring Reverend Horton Heat.
Oh, really?
I knew it.
Friday, December the 22nd, House of Blues presents Reverend Horton Heat and Junior Brown with special guests The Blasters and Big Sandy live in concert. Tickets are on sale right now at realradio.fm, keyword tickets, and at the House of Blues box office.
Well, who knew?
Don't miss Reverend Horton Heat, Junior Brown on December the 22nd at the House of Blues Orlando.
Okay. Hey, look, he draws a big crowd here.
We got a Wassies Meats prize pack and includes Wassey's 4-pack of rubs plus a $25 Wassey's gift card. Wassey's Meat Market, it's 830 North Wickham, Melbourne, largest big green egg dealer in Florida. Everything you need.
That's where you want to go. To get the big green egg, I get people asking me all the time because I've been talking about it a lot. The big green egg, it's amazing. And as a matter of fact, I'm cooking a whole chicken on it today. I love my big green egg, and the best place, really one of the only places to get it, is at Wassey's, and they give you the best deals. Here's what they're doing. They give you a really great deal on a big green egg because they want you to go back there and buy the meat and the stuff for a lifetime. So they sell the big green egg at a really, really, almost a dirt cheap price, just so you'll see their store and know, oh, wow, they've got all kinds of meat. So it's a great way that they do it. If you're going to buy a big green egg, you're not going to find it less anywhere. But, man, what great people, and I love my big green egg. It makes it fun to cook out.
Now, check it out. What's cool about Wassey's is that they have the big green eggs, but they also have their own products that they do. They got all the different rubs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Everything you need for the holidays for the man in your life. Big green eggs in stock in every size. Largest selection of accessories, Yeti coolers, cups, and gear. Premium cutlery, rubs, and marinades. And do yourself a favor. If you want to see a big green egg in action,
yeah,
follow their Instagram account because they get at it.
Is it great?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. And them, and there's a couple people that they're partnered with that do show a lot of the different things that they cook on the Big Green Egg, give you ideas even, so yeah. Check it out.
And they also, too, they've got this Big Green Egg magazine, and it's complimentary when you go into Wassey's or whatever, but I just picked one up the other day.
That thing is crazy.
Well, no.
It's a huge spread.
I learned a new way to cook an entire chicken, right? And they show you how to cut the backbone out of the chicken, and you flatten it, and you put it on the Big Green Egg to make it even... I'm doing it tonight.
Oh, okay.
That's tonight's deal. So I'm
how
excited.
Do you take
like scissors, shears that you use in the kitchen, and you cut the backbone
meat
out,
shears.
And then you splay it out so it's kind of flat, and it shows you how to do it in the book. That's the great thing
it
about
shows you in the centerfold.
The big green egg
all
people
splayed out.
Is they're into meat so much, and they have all these, and they give you all these ideas. It's almost like a little science project, It's fun to do. So I'm looking forward to that tonight.
Absolutely, we got a copy of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets on Blu-ray. Called a visual masterpiece, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets is a groundbreaking epic adventure beyond your imagination, available now to buy.
The City of a Thousand Planets. What does that mean?
That's really confusing.
A thousand planets.
Like, what does that mean?
No, planets.
Like, planets. Like,
oh.
Okay.
It's a city, and it's got a thousand planets
Maybe
in
planets
it.
Are like workout places, like Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
Planet and they just Hollywood. Shorten it to planets.
Planet Pizza.
Planet Pizza.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Planets.
And those are the prizes in the prize figure.
Thanks, Angel.
Thanks, Angel.
407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Now, are some of these people the same people that call Angel?
Today's really good.
So today we got a brand new batch of folks. Okay, good. I like that. Hey, Jay from Deltona, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Jay?
What's going on, monsters?
Hey, buddy.
What up, Jay?
Are you on your way to work, or are you already there?
I'm already here.
You're already there. All right. What do you do for a living?
Truck driver.
All right, buddy.
Hell yeah. Keep it hauling.
Hey, man, I-4 is a pain in the ass for you, isn't it?
I can't wait till at least they fix the road. I don't care about traffic.
Oh, it's never going to be fixed. It's never going to be fixed because they've been fixing it since, 1990.
One day. It will.
And they got dips in there that are bad for your load. Let me tell you that.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Good luck to you. If you get it right, take whatever prize you want. And if you don't get it, don't worry because you've got Angel, Savannah, and Carlos that'll be glad to help you, okay?
All right.
Hey, The Dark Knight was the first Batman movie that didn't have the word Batman in the title or any of these. What else was not in The Dark Knight?
Robin?
Robin. No, that is incorrect. Who do you want to help? You've got Angel, you've got Savannah, or Carlos?
Let's go with Carlos.
Carlos!
All right, I want to win for you, brother.
The Dark Knight was the first movie that didn't have Batman in the title.
Right, okay.
It also did not have this or any of these.
Oh, that makes no sense.
Well, what we're talking about is in every other Batman movie, but it's not in The Dark Knight.
So, in the actual film?
In the actual film, you won't see any of these or this thing. So in the movie The Dark Knight, it was the first Batman movie that didn't have Batman in the title, and they did not include any of these in the movie.
That would be the bat logo.
The bat logo is incorrect. That is wrong. I'm sorry.
Good one.
Sorry, Jay.
Brian.
I want to do one.
From Avalon Park, you're on Real Radio
104.1. Hey, bud. How are you?
Hey, buddy. What's going on? Bud. All right, listen. The Dark Knight was the first movie, the first Batman movie that didn't have Batman, the word Batman in the title. What else did it not have?
The word Batman?
That was the first thing, the first example. The word Batman.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the word Batman was not in the title. Oh, you mean the word Batman in the entire movie. No, that's not right. Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel and you got Savannah.
I would not pick me.
Angel, if I could.
Angel, The Dark Knight was the first Batman movie that didn't have Batman in the title or any of these. And they're in every other Batman movie.
Oh, I know what it is now. Damn. How did I not know that?
Bullets.
Bullets is incorrect. I'm so sorry. 407-916-1041.
I was reaching, dude. I apologize.
I got it, and I'm your last choice.
Hey, Bill from Waterford, you're on Real Radio 104.1. By the way, I'm doing this question today because it's Nerdy News Day, so Blogamali will be in a little bit later, and I've got a Batman-related news story. So, Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Good, bud.
All right, man. Listen, The Dark Knight was the first Batman movie that didn't have the word Batman in the title or any of these. What else was not in that particular Batman movie?
I don't even have a guess. I'll just go with Savannah.
Well, no, you got to guess.
Guess anything, because I got it.
You have to guess something. What do you think was not in that movie?
The Joker.
The Joker. No, that's the only one that did have the Joker. Savannah.
I think I know it, but I'm going to take the hint.
Okay, so The Dark Knight was the first Batman movie that didn't have the word Batman in the title or any of these.
Hint.
I don't believe any of these were ever in the TV series that I can remember.
They're
talking about Batman movies.
I'm gonna either say Batarang or Bat Signal, but you pick which one, and I'll pick the other one. Because you didn't guess yet.
What did you say first? You said Bat Signal and what else?
He did guess. He guessed.
Oh, what did he guess? Batarang.
You say Batarang, that's wrong.
Batarang.
I'm sorry. 407-916-1041. Hey, Mark from Satellite Beach, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
I don't know about Batman.
Hey, buddy. The Dark Knight was the first Batman movie that didn't have the word Batman in the title or any of these in the entire movie. And I don't think any of these were in the TV series. I don't ever remember seeing one.
I'll say the opening credits.
Opening credits. No, that's not right. Who do you want to help you? Oh, actually, you've got Angel, right? Or no, everyone's back on the board. Okay, so you can have Angel, Savannah, or Carlos.
Angel's the man.
Angel is the man. Angel.
Let's see about that. Let's see about that after this guess.
The Dark Knight was the first Batman movie that didn't have Batman in the title. Also, they decided not to put any of these in the entire movie. They've included them in other movies.
I'm going to go for the obvious, bro. What's it, Mark? How about bats?
That's the answer. There you go. Congratulations. Nice. There you go. We put you on hold, sir.
That's like saying it didn't have a man in it.
No, they didn't have any bats in the movie. Like, and I don't remember any of them in any of the TV series, but in all the other movies, they would include some scene where the bats flying through the bat.
They had fake bats on the TV show.
I don't remember.
And that hung from the ceiling.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, on fishing line.
I don't remember that. But anyway,
Are you saying for that specific movie or for that series of Batman?
No, for The Dark Knight, that particular movie, they did not include any bats in the entire thing.
Gotcha.
All right.
I believe you if you say so.
There's a new phenomena, and I'm going to be able to let you in on what it is. Here's a chance for you to know what the Batman effect is.
Is it like twerking bats?
On Real Radio 104.1.
So you failed a personality test.
What exactly do you mean by a wrong answer?
We'll still talk to you.
407-916-1041. Real Radio 104.1.
If you want a brand new mattress, this is the time to go get it. Hey, do you have a pet? Well, you have today to go to our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Upload a picture of your pet. It can be a cat. It can be a dog. It can be a snake, a chicken, a pig, whatever it is. And tomorrow, the voting will start. And if people vote on your pet, you could win $250. So go to the website at monsters.fm, brag on your pet. Voting starts tomorrow. Right here at go to monsters.fm, and you can do that voting. Now, also, here's another way you can do it. If you don't want to upload it on our website, then put your pet on Twitter or Instagram and hashtag it Monster Pet Entry. Hashtag Monster Pet Entry when you put the picture up, and it'll automatically be entered into the contest, and it's pretty cool. So you can get $250 when you do that, and that's on monsters.fm. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be on the website in the next couple days, so you're going to want to check out the website and see ways to win prizes. We're going to have some Monster Christmas songs up. We're going to have all kinds of cool stuff that you can check out at monsters.fm. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to have a real-life astronaut in here. John McBride will be in, so we'll bring him in a little bit.
Heck yeah.
Okay, so Angel, if you had to guess, what do you think, and when Savannah and Carlos get back, I'll let them play along too. What do you think, and this was it was research done by the University of Minnesota.
Gotcha.
What do you think the Batman effect is? If you had to guess, what is the Batman effect?
You come into a whole bunch of money, and then all of a sudden at night you want to solve crime.
Makes sense. Not no. really what they came up
Ooh,
with
I know,
in
I
the
know,
University
I know.
Of Minnesota. Savannah, what do you think the University of Minnesota has deemed the Batman effect?
When people get to be schizophrenic and have split personalities because they see their parents get shot.
That's a good... once again, it shows better. You're paying attention, but that is not what they determined.
That's a lie.
Carlos, what do you think the University of Minnesota is calling the... It's officially called the Batman effect. It's really interesting.
The Batman effect.
Yes.
Damn, I can't even think of something stupid for it because it just already sounds stupid.
I will tell you this, that out of all of us, Angel and you could still use the Batman effect in different ways, but yes, you could use it.
Oh, I thought it was like a euphemism for reach arounds.
No.
Is it that you could be, I'm just going to think because we have young daughters, that you look at, they look at you like their hero.
No, but you're going down the right path with the kids. This is really interesting. So the University of Minnesota did a study recently with 180 kids, and they broke the 180 kids up into three groups. And the first group, they gave them an iPad and they gave them a computer and they say, do this task. And it was a mundane, like, you know, task that, you know, kind of boring, but, you know, do this task. And they were called by their real names and referred to as their real names. The second group, they gave them different names like Charlie or Beth or whatever, if their name was, you know, something else, and they were to play like they were somebody they didn't know, you know, like, and then they gave them the same mundane task on the computer or whatever. And then the third group, they let them dress up in Batman costumes, and they and all that group was dressed up like Batman. And when they would go and check on their work, instead of saying, hey, how is Charlie doing, they would go and they say, how's Batman doing? So they did these tests and they did them for an entire week. By far, the kids that dressed up like Batman did so much better on all of the tasks. They completed double the amount that the other kids did. They said they did the assigned task plus some. They got more answers right, and they said they're calling it the Batman effect. It improved pretty much everything that they did. It says that it made productivity so much better, and they're trying to figure out exactly why. Now, it could be, let's say you dress up as your favorite superhero. They picked Batman because the guy that was doing the research, that was his favorite. But they say, like, let's say if you let your daughters dress up like somebody that they really, really like to do a particular task, that for whatever reason, this Batman effect it worked in all different types of characters.
I would say now it makes sense in the sense of for my kid, I have to let her get into her rainbow bright outfit and then she'll clean up her room.
That's good. I like it.
So in that regard, I guess I can see how that would work.
So then we go to like the kids, like this kid's name is Charlie, and they say, hey, so how's Charlie? Is Charlie working hard today? And Charlie would be like, yeah, whatever.
You know,
Charlie. And then if his name was Charlie, they'd say he's supposed to play like his name is Albert. Hey, how's Albert doing? He got a little bit better when he was pretending to be somebody else. But the kids that dressed up like Batman, and they would go to him and say, hey, is Batman working hard today? They doubled the productivity of the other kids. Isn't that odd?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see I don't see why.
I see it completely, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me why,
Savannah. As a little girl and as a person, I'm very shy and mild-mannered. But when I wake up in the morning, I say to myself, you get out there, Savannah. And then I dress like Savannah.
Yeah.
And then I put makeup on like Savannah. And then I walk out the door, and I'm Savannah, and I'm strong.
Hey, I wonder if this... The kids also dressed up like
Superman.
Batman, and Batman has a mask on. I wonder if wearing a mask for some reason had something to do with
it. It's being a superhero.
Yeah?
Like, I've always been my own superhero alter ego, and
mate.
I didn't need anybody
mate.
Else to do it.
Mate,
but
mate,
what
mate,
I'm
mate.
Saying is, for other little girls and little kids, like, maybe they need to have a superhero of their own to feel like they are or turning into, and it makes them feel better.
It says, across the board, all the children spent more time on their iPad and on their assignments and tasks, doubled the tasks of the other kids when they were allowed to cosplay as heroes. In this particular instance, they were all Batman, so they've called it the Batman effect. But they said they clearly did much better than their peers. And
they've used that as a mechanism in movies, too, with kids. And I think even as a treatment for kids going through... let's say cancer treatments and everything, they've done that, and they'll put like a mask on the kid and have them do this persona. I've seen that in other realms, that it works. It helps them get through that.
So they're saying that knowing this Batman effect thing, they said that parents should allow their kids, to dress up like their favorite superhero, whatever, when they're doing their homework. It'll make them do better at their homework.
Like Heart Girl.
And so you go in and say, hey, Heart Girl, how are you doing in your homework today?
Right.
And they're saying that it was across the board, like every kid in the third, in the Batman effect thing, they all did better than the kids that were just themselves.
And the thing is, Heart Girl is just like Savannah. She made it up on her own. She's her own hero in her mind. And that's how you grow up and be strong. And I'm so proud of Lynn, and I have to go give her a hug.
Actually, as silly as Savannah is, she's actually making a good point right now.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find it.
I never looked up to Wonder Woman. There wasn't a female alligator handler that I could look up to. So I made up my own in my head, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't have a Heart Girl to look up to, and she's making up her own.
Isn't that sad, though, that the kids gotta dress up like a damn superhero to feel confident?
No.
I mean, that's a sad state of affairs.
It's fun.
No, but I mean, it's like, can't they just be confident on their own? Like, I don't know. It's just,
it's
an interesting study, sure. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it says here you can do it as an experiment and see if dressing up like Batman or their favorite character does improve their productivity. If you're having a problem, I don't know.
This
we got a coach online that it's used it, and he says it works really well.
We got what?
Robert.
Oh, hey, Robert, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Robert?
Good morning, Drew. How you doing this morning?
Good, bud.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, I truly believe this. I used to coach youth sports for years, and throughout the whole day, the kids were Johnny or Tammy or Susie or whomever they were. But when we got together for practice, they all got to choose their own nickname, whether it was Wheels or Chili because he played like he was on fire or... whatever nickname that we came up with, I had more tension, more participation, more just better performance because for that moment, they got to be whatever they wanted to be on the field. And it made a huge, huge difference in my ability to teach those kids about the game and how to take in accept challenge and move forward. So I'm a true believer if you take and give a child that opportunity to choose something that they want to be, they'll take and embrace it and really, really go with it.
I like your version better than the Batman one. I think that's cool to create their own kind of, that they know their own nickname and
they make their own.
I think that's cool.
It says that in this study. They just happened to pick Batman because the guy that did the study was into it. Hey, Robert, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
I like this story. It's making me fired up right now.
You fired up?
Yeah, I am. And I think it's super cool. Like, because, you watch like fantasy when you're a kid in cartoons and you want to change it up. And you can do it from your own inside.
Hey,
you don't have to be Batman.
Hey, everybody, here's your chance to get to know a real live astronaut on Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Harry's Razors. I use them every single morning. I don't... Hey, you're listening to The Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. You want to go check that out, and also to our website, monsters.fm. There's all kinds of cool stuff to check out, and prizes you can win, and we've got Monster Christmas songs, all kinds of stuff on the website at monsters.fm. Today, we've got a real-life astronaut is here with us today, John McBride, and I just found something out, which is really cool. Let's go ahead and let John... So when you're talking to an astronaut, is it Mr. McBride, officer?
Your Honor?
What's the best way to...
Sir?
Just call me John.
Just John? John, right. I just looked up your Wikipedia. Usually is kind of ridiculous because people can put whatever they want on there, but some stuff is important. And you are from the same town that my parents are from.
I heard that on the way in here this morning.
That's crazy.
Charleston, West Virginia.
What was the name of the furniture company?
My grandfather owned the first... TV store. It was in downtown Charleston, West Virginia.
We probably bought our TV from him.
It was Sigmund. What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
Sigmund's TV.
I remember that.
And that's crazy.
And my mom and dad are from Charleston, West Virginia. And they
so are mine.
High school did they go to?
We moved to Beckley, so I graduated from Woodrow Wilson High School.
Woodrow Wilson, they were Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. And I'm married to a girl now who's from Charleston, West Virginia. Her whole family's from West Virginia. We're all probably related in some way.
We probably are.
Yeah, more than likely. So you grew up in Charleston, West Virginia. That is not a place you think of where you have a lot of astronauts and really and super smart people come out of.
Well, I am the only astronaut from West Virginia currently. But for 30 years, I've been encouraging everybody I can back there to come and join. Follow my footsteps. Glad to see that.
I guess so. Do you go back to Charleston very often?
I get back to West Virginia two or three times a year.
Do you really?
I got to. Went up there. Well, I went to Morgantown a couple of weeks ago for the Texas game, which I'm sorry about that one.
Yeah. So a young man growing up in Charleston, West Virginia, what guided you towards the way of ended up being an astronaut? Was it your desire as a kid?
Well, in my junior high school days, everybody seemed like every kid, male kid anyway, in this country was interested in rocketry and science and airplanes. And I, too, was caught up in the Sputnik, all that kind of stuff in the late 50s. And fortunately, in 1960, I got to meet John Kennedy.
Wow.
Through my hometown campaigning to be president. And I got to spend 5 or 10 minutes with him and Jackie before anybody else showed up at the rally.
How did that happen? It was just
a coincidence? I believe in divine intervention, sure. All that kind of stuff. I spent 10 minutes with he and Jackie before anybody else showed up for the rally, which got his autograph, which I passed on to my son, and he's now up to 40 presidential autographs.
That's awesome.
It was exactly a year after that I met him that he had been elected, inaugurated, and now he was president in May of 61, about a year later, where he said, we're going to go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that got not only my attention, but the attention of every American at that time. And
oh, yeah.
I like to go back and recall that probably... That challenge by Kennedy in 1961 kept this country together during some pretty turbulent times.
Sure.
Because every American was focused on this voyage to the moon. And so I was caught up in it my whole time in the Navy as a Navy fighter pilot, test pilot, and all this stuff. I was doing exactly the same things I had seen Alan Shepard and all the guys that wore gold wings like me. What did they do to get there? And I did exactly the same thing, which I preached to the kids.
Yeah. So you made that decision early on. Okay, I'm going to be an astronaut. Like you had decided,
like millions of other guys.
Right. And okay, so you follow that dream. You go into the Navy, right?
Right.
And you fly planes. And so when do you have to fill out an application? Do they call you and say, hey, look, you're the kind of guy we're looking for. Do you got to go knock on someone's door and say, sir, I would like to be an astronaut. How does that happen?
As I tell the kids, think ahead, pick out somebody that's done something and do what they did.
Yeah.
To get to where you want to be.
And mentor.
I had watched Alan Shepard and I knew all the things they had done, many carrier landings and their combat training and all that kind of stuff. So in 13 years into my career, NASA said, we're looking for people to fly this new thing called Space Shuttle.
Whoa.
Here I am, guys.
Wow. Now, what was the space shuttle that you flew?
I flew the Challenger.
Wow.
I was scheduled to be the commander of the Columbia on the flight right after we lost the Challenger, which we didn't get to do that.
Yeah.
So you flew the Challenger.
So you were the main pilot.
That's
the
crazy.
The piloto. Yes. Wow, man. That is so awesome.
It's an awesome experience. But anyway, back to the selection process, they put out a call for applicants, and I think there were 18,000 that they looked at pretty seriously.
Wow.
It took about a year to go from 18,000 down to 200. Then the final 200, they would invite 10 or 15 of us every week to the Johnson Space Center for a week-long psychiatric, physical, psychological.
Oh, yeah.
They knew more about me after a week than I knew about myself.
And at that time, did people treat you like a rock star? Because, you know, now we see you know, rockets take off all the time, and some people, they barely look up. You weren't treated
that way during the candidacy, problem, mm-hmm. But after you got selected, I was in the very first class of space shuttle astronauts with Sally Ryan, our American women, and Guy Bluford, our first African-American, and Ellison Onizuka, Japanese-American, first West Virginian.
Yeah.
It really was a
historic
class, and I was very honored to be in it.
So there were
35 of us in the first class, the largest ever, because we need a lot of people to fly a space shuttle with 7 people per flight, maybe 12 flights per year. So 15 pilots, 10 of us from the Navy, and the other 20 were the new category called mission specialists, Sally and all the other guys. We still needed pilots to fly this thing up, fly it around, and bring it home, but now we needed scientists and technicians
and
engineers to do all the science and launch the satellites and do the spacewalks. Sure.
So when you're going to fly the space shuttle, you're going to fly the Challenger. Not a whole lot of guys can do that. Do they pull you aside and say, okay, now there's certain things you can say to the media, certain things you can't, because you represent the top of the top of the top elite. You're an astronaut. There's not many on the planet. I mean, do they talk to you about the things you can and can't say to the media?
They did not.
They didn't.
Which was a mistake. After my class was gone through all the training, we finally convinced NASA, you really need to give your next group of astronauts some media training.
Yeah.
And they did that.
That's the first 2 or 3 weeks of every new class of astronauts that show up. They get that media training right off the bat.
Why did you decide that was an issue to deal with?
Because all of us were kind of thrown into the fire, you know, right off the bat, and a lot of people had never done that.
And no experience at all.
No experience whatsoever with media.
Yeah. Huh.
And it's not like today where, like, you know, everybody got a show on YouTube or here. It must have been so foreign, you know.
By the way, astronaut John McBride is here to talk to us about the Kennedy Space Center, and they do some great things for the holidays in space, and we're definitely going to talk about that and what they do out there. If you've never been to the Kennedy Space Center, my goodness, you need to go. It's absolutely amazing.
Changes all the time. So if you were there last week, it could probably come through something new.
So. Yeah. Hey, John. Okay. So we hear John McBride here, by the way, astronaut. And of course, all my knowledge comes from movies. Okay. So I can see.
And Star Trek.
Star Trek, right. And I can see them coming to you and say, listen, we're going to Mars. And we got this young buck, and he's a great, great astronaut, but we need someone who's been there. We need someone who's done it.
That's
and we
experience.
Need you to go with them and teach Ashton Kutcher how to go into space and get us to Mars. Will you? So if you were asked.
But here's the thing, it's a one way trip.
No. We're going to bring you back.
So a mission to Mars, if they came to you and said, look, we know you're a bit older, but we know that you have the knowledge, would you go to Mars?
I'd do it in a second.
Yeah.
Really?
No hesitation whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
And how close are we to, because you hear about it all the time, like Elon Musk and other people that are really allegedly putting this whole thing together. How close are we to that being an actual reality?
We're kind of at a standstill right now. If we made the firm decision, you know, the Congress allowed us to have the money and all of everybody was behind it, it's going to take probably 10 to 15 years from that point. And we haven't reached that point.
Well, everything's running smooth right now.
We're doing a lot of research and we're developing designs for spacecraft and all those kind of things. But until the commitment is made, well, okay, here's your money to go do these things.
Do you think it's an important project? Do you think it's something that we need to do, or is it just something to keep us busy?
Oh, I think it's just like in traditionally in the past, we'll learn thousands of new technologies and develop procedures that will improve our quality of life here on Earth. One of the things we must do before going to Mars is to develop the ability to recycle and reuse everything we take with us. There's zero waste in the system.
Right.
Closed loop. So if we can develop that, think what it'll do for humanity here on Earth, where we're burying ourselves in our own garbage.
Has 3D printing changed the game with that?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
And it will.
Yeah.
But we need a Kennedy thing, like in 61, the challenge to do that.
Yeah.
We have not gotten that yet, and nobody's jumped on board to make it happen.
So, okay, when you did get to fly the space shuttle and you were in space, what was the thing that you did not expect was going to happen that did? Something that kind of like, well, I didn't think that was going to be like that. Or were you so prepared that there really were no surprises once you got up in space?
The only surprise I had was on liftoff. At 2 minutes after liftoff, there's a big as we separate the solid rocket boosters. And I had never been briefed that it really was going to make a lot of noise. I knew that, but I didn't know that when it exploded, there's a film created by the pyrotechnics that cover the windscreen.
Whoa.
So here I am humming along, looking at the blue sky and getting 3, 2, 1, kaboom. my windscreen gets totally dark.
Oh, no.
I look over at Bob Crippen, who'd flown just his fourth flight.
Uh-huh.
He's looking at me smiling.
Oh, he knew
it. They don't tell the new pilots this happens because they want to see what your
reaction is. Oh, that's funny.
It wasn't funny at the
time. Oh, it's like astronaut secret jokes.
Right.
So if you're the pilot, are you like the captain of the ship?
No, the captain of the script, or the commander's the captain.
Oh, there's a commander. And then
you're both pilots.
You're both pilots.
It's like the airlines where the captain sits in the left seat and the pilot sits, but they both fly.
Yeah.
What is like the first thing, like once you got out of Earth's atmosphere, like what is the first thing that you felt or saw, or like how was that? Because you're one of the only people in the world that's ever done that. I need to know.
It was magical. I hadn't even had a chance to look out the window for about the first 45 minutes, so busy with post-insertion procedures.
It right.
was 45 minutes later when I actually got to take my seatbelt loose and float up, and I did a tumble, didn't have to walk anymore, back
uh-huh.
in the aft part of the cockpit where my job is to open up the payload bay doors. I hadn't seen Earth yet, waiting for that moment. Hit the button and the doors start opening. My God, I'm over Australia.
Oh, my
Whoa!
Goodness.
45 minutes after leaving Florida, and as the doors open, I could see from Perth to Sydney.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And what enhanced the whole process was right next to me was Paul Scully Power, the first Australian to fly in space. And
oh,
he and
crying.
I got to witness this thing at the same time. It was just a...
Now, with us here is John McBride, a real-life astronaut from the Kennedy Space Center, and they have something I want to ask you about, but go ahead.
Is it true that you can't see Earth whole from the space shuttle?
No, you can't.
You can't, right?
We operate from 100 to 300 miles above the Earth, so you can maybe see 1,500 miles in all directions.
That blew my mind when I realized that all the pictures of Earth are kind of created
by
NASA.
Well, if you see the old Earth, there's several thousands of miles.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah,
there's a magic number, and I don't know exactly.
So the movies don't have that part right, because you know they cut out, and all of a sudden there's perfect Earth.
I do remember flying down the United States over the Mississippi, and you can look to the west and see the Pacific Rim, and you can look to the east and see the Atlantic, so you can essentially see across.
Oh my gosh!
That's so
dope. And I heard him talking about this when there's some guy that's convinced the Earth is flat.
Where is this guy? I want to meet him.
and he's trying to convince everybody that the Earth is flat because astronauts can't really see the edges of the Earth when they go into space.
Yeah, there's
what's your thought process on that, John?
Has he seen the pictures we took from the moon of the Earth?
Yeah.
Look at those.
Take a look at them. Okay.
I've told people for years that it would have taken a lot more time, effort, and money to fake that than to do it.
You're right, yeah. right. And what is the astronaut training experience that's at the Kennedy Space Center?
It's a whole new experience we're going to open up. Probably the first of the year, which will allow you to come down and train to go to Mars and actually get in the spacecraft and be in the control room on Mars and do things on Mars and
cool.
totally immersed for up to a day
that's
in
crazy.
Martian activities.
I mean, that's you hear about this all the time, and it does seem like in our lifetime there's going to be an attempt at least.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah?
It's going to be somebody's got to make that decision to make it happen. We need the Kennedy thing.
Yes.
To unite us all, make us go do it.
There are a lot of launches that go on at the Kennedy Space Center.
We're going to have, it could be 30 or more this year.
Wow. And that's got to be, that's great for the local economy. Do you go and see all of these? Or are you also to the point where you're like, I can miss this one?
If I'm in town, I can't miss it because I live right across the river from the Space Center. See all the launch pads. So.
Now, do you live over there because of what your job was? Or
yes.
do you live over there because you love it?
Both.
Now, that area of Cape Canaveral used to be like a happening spot for all you astronaut party guys.
Oh, yeah. We don't party. Astronauts never party.
Not anymore.
Never.
Particularly the Navy ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, when is the next launch? Do you know?
I think it's after the first of the year. Now.
Okay.
No, wait. Maybe it's been moving around. It could be in the next week or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, what I've been told is a lot of times you'll walk around at the Kennedy Space Center and just bump into people and start telling them about the experience and talking to people. Like you're there as like a real astronaut
yes.
that people can talk to.
We have a real astronaut there every day. And over the Christmas season, we're going to have one at night. So you can have dinner with an astronaut if you'd like to do that.
Huh. Is there one astronaut that is not as smart as the rest? Is there one that y'all make fun of?
Yeah, like Willie.
No,
he shuts the gate doors. He kind of gets out
if there.
If there
were, we wouldn't talk about it.
Angel, question for astronaut John McBride, who's here thanks to the Kennedy Space Center, and they want to remind you that holidays in space are happening.
Now, with your job and being able to see a lot of, I guess, this galaxy that most of us do not see, do you entertain the thought, or is there a possibility that there's alien life forms in other galaxies or in other worlds?
I haven't seen it, but I'll guarantee you that I would almost guarantee that there's something out there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, our Hubble telescope has now found are about 500 other solar systems and moons just like ours.
Yep.
So who's to say that there couldn't be something out there somewhere?
I
haven't seen it yet.
Have you seen the committee that Tom DeLonge put together, filled with like the most credible people in the industry? It seems legit. I mean, about them slowly introducing the, you know, planet Earth to these aliens, and they're dead serious about it. It's the most,
there could be millions of these things out there somewhere, and for somebody to think that's not the chances of something, it may not look and talk like we do,
but
something that's live and an organism, kind of organism somewhere in this solar system, not our solar
system. Like
I don't think there's
anything
in our solar system. I think we're the only ones, but you get on out and it's the universe. I think it'd be silly to think there's not a possibility of something like that out there.
Hey, John McBride here. He's an astronaut, believe it or not, sitting here with us right now. If a lot of parents are taking their kids to school right now, they might be listening. If you're going to talk to a young kid and they're like, I want to be an astronaut, what is it you would tell them in order to follow that path? What would be the best advice to give some kid who wants to be an astronaut?
Math.
Oh, well, school, obviously. I would tell them to set their dreams and follow them, make them happen. And you can do that by staying in school, studying, listening to your parents and your grandparents and people that really care about you, and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of doing the right thing, studying, doing all the things that you've seen. If you pick out somebody, I tell them that's done something, and you do what they did.
And would you say like, going into the Air Force, good idea, or the Navy, or the Marine Corps?
The Navy's the best idea.
The Navy. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes, Savannah, okay. A question for John McBride.
You were the first Challenger pilot, right? No? Close to the front?
Yeah.
I was going to ask a question, but now it doesn't make sense. I apologize. I didn't mean to take your time away. I do apologize.
That's okay. So for the holidays, will you be around for the holidays at the Kennedy Space Center?
Then we'll have an extra astronaut or two to have lunches and dinners.
You know what I was amazed about when I went to the Kennedy Space Center is how many people from around the world,
I don't know the exact number, but it's nearly 50% of the people that visit us come from other countries.
Yeah, and it seems like the British seem to be so enamored with our, with our space program, and that they really, really are.
I hate to say it, but I think most of the world knows more about our space program than a lot of Americans do.
That's what I was going to say. It seemed like there were more people from all over.
We got a lot of folks from South America, a lot of folks from
India.
Europe.
And we take it for
India.
It seems like Americans take it for granted. And I remember going and feeling this incredible amount of patriotism. Like, man, America, we figured this out. And everyone else is going, how did America do this?
Right.
It really is an awesome feeling to go there.
Oh, it's an awesome achievement that we did what we did when we did it.
Yeah.
What is an astronaut? Someone who's done almost everything. I mean, like, you were in space. Like, what do you do for fun?
Wow.
What makes you excited?
Well, I still have the opportunity to work at the Kennedy Space Center.
Right.
Almost each and every day. So that keeps me excited, the people that come. And
but most fun thing, like, what could you get? Like, do you skydive? Like, bungee jump? Orlando Eye?
Corvettes, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Because you like to go fast.
Yes, I do.
All right, John, this is a very important question right now. Star Wars, Star Trek, which is better?
Oh, boy. I like the Trek.
West Virginia in the house. Yeah, right. That's the man right there. Charleston, we got to be related. At least I'm going to tell people we are. It's John McBride. Thank you so much for coming in.
John.
It's a great honor meeting you.
I want to encourage all the folks to come out and see us over Christmas. So we got fighting gravity folks. It's going to be a tremendous show from dawn till dusk.
Hey, and thank you for your service to not only our country, but what you do for kids and stuff. I think it's awesome, and it's good to see someone who's a positive influence.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. And once again, it's the Kennedy Space Center. You can visit there during the holidays. It's a great time to go, and you will absolutely love it. You don't even have to have kids. If you're a grown adult, you'll have a great time at the Kennedy Space Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Yay!
Hey, your chance to guess one of the six things we're going to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Listen to the Monster of the Morning.
Seeing your face round since I was a kid. You're bringing back those memories of the things that we did. You're hanging round and climbing trees pretending to fly. Do you want to be a spaceman and live in the sky? God, how many bills to pay and how many kids? And you forgot about the things that we did. The town where we're living has made you a man, and all of your dreams are washed away in the sand. Well, it's all right. It's all right.
Measuring success by the number of childhood traumas uncovered.
Your father and I are going to the store.
Her show.
To buy lubricant.
Real Radio 104.1.
Pro Flowers has something special for you right now. It's a great time of year to get to... Here's the thing. Okay. Morning, Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. All kinds of cool stuff you can see on our website at monsters.fm. We want you to go to it, please. It'll help Lagamali out. She'd appreciate it. And the Monster Christmas Wish, they're going on now on our website. So if you've got a Christmas wish, something you want to come true, go to the website at monsters.fm, and maybe that Christmas wish will come true. Some other people are going on to the website and checking them out. And, did John McBride, the astronaut, leave his, is that his Yeti cup right there?
Oh, I'm keeping it. I'm keeping it.
Do not
keep,
you can't.
No, I'm keeping it.
Don't keep an astronaut's cup.
I want a hero's cup.
That's a Yeti cup from an astronaut. You can't, it might be special Yeti.
And maybe it's Space Yeti.
Let me look.
Get it, Carlos. Keep it.
You can't keep an astronaut.
Yes, he can.
No, don't.
He forgot.
My cup.
Oh. Does it say John McBride on it?
No way.
It says astronaut John McBride on it. You can't keep his.
Kennedy Space Center Yeti Edition.
I'm keeping it.
Carlos, you can't keep that.
I'll buy him another one, man. I actually want to drink direct. Let me drink directly off of this.
You drink the drink?
Don't drink out of this.
I just got... Freaking astronaut powers.
Look, I have astronaut ice cream he left for me, and I'm about to eat it for breakfast.
Oh, are you really?
I'm basically an astronaut now. Absolutely. I got his coffee cup.
I got to tell you what. You talk about a stone-cold American badass. I know someone on the Texas server said that. And they're like, Jimmy's not there to say it. So, but, yeah, that guy
stone
is
cold.
That is one of the, you know, like you talk about older men that he still has that. You shake his hand, and he could bring it down just with a handshake.
You know, yeah, just a solid dude. Like,
for
no
sure,
matter,
wherever he goes, women are still trying to get on that.
Oh, are you kidding me? I was trying to get on that. I'm drinking his coffee. Yeah, he's no matter the age, he at 30, 40, 20, that dude was a badass.
Yeah.
Like just a solid guy all around. When he came in, he was talking about your family. And
it's so weird. I mean,
I would have eaten this ice cream with him if he would have asked me on a date.
I don't meet that many people that are from Charleston, West Virginia. Right. You know, in my entire life, that's where my parents are from and just my family. I don't really meet people from there. So when I checked his Wikipedia and I said he's like from the same town, it's weird. You have this. You know, this. You feel like, oh, we've got to be.
That was the first thing he said
cousins.
To me.
Was it really?
Yeah, when he walked in, he goes, are you the one that's from West Virginia? I'm like, no, I'm not from West Virginia. And then I was like, that's Russ.
And he said his parents bought their first TV from Sigmund TV, which was my grandfather.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Small world.
It is small world. But
West Virginia's tiny, man. You know,
it's bigger than you think, but yeah.
Is it really? I thought it was one of our smaller states.
It is a smaller state. Well, no, it's not that small of a state. Actually, there are many states that are smaller, but Charleston is, it's there. You got the holler, you know, like down in the holler where a lot of your poor people live. And then,
holler.
And then there are people that are wealthy. I had a wealthy uncle that lived in Charleston as well. So we had both, all different sides. But anyway, that was an astronaut. That's what I think of when I think of an astronaut. And I for some reason, when I was, you know, sometimes I'll dream about what I'm going to talk about the next day. And I knew the astronaut was coming in. So half my dream was them, like, trying to get him to go to Mars with some young astronaut who doesn't know the ropes as well.
Yeah.
And so, but they got John McBride to go to Mars with him. And he said he would do it if they asked him.
You know. Yeah, because he's a badass, and he's like, what the hell, yeah, I'll go up there, and but I'm not super into space at all, really, hashtag Team Ocean, but that got me into some space. I want to go to Kennedy Space Center.
Uh-huh. Just eat the space ice cream, because it is delicious.
My memory of space ice cream is from fifth grade.
I'm
Look,
sure it
it's
is.
Chocolate. Taste it again. It's so good.
I'm sure it's good. Right. Hey, Angel, we need to put keep an eye out. I know around 7:30 or so, they were supposed to say who the Time Man of the Year is. I have a feeling it's going to be Colin Kaepernick, but maybe they'll throw us a curve and it'll be something else. But if you see...
It already came out, Rusty Ray.
Did it come out?
Yeah, it did.
And who is the Time Man of the Year?
Oh, you didn't see it? Yeah, I just got the notification.
Can the Man of the Year be a woman?
No, it's actually...
guessed it yesterday. I think I guessed it, which was the Times Person of the Year is
all women.
The Silence Breakers.
Oh, so, okay, the Me Too people.
The Me Too campaign.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. So, like, every woman that comes out and talks about something that happened to them in the past, that's the person of the year.
You know, here's funny. Here's who they list as one of the notifications. It's crazy now. Every time anything happens, I get 16 notifications from 16 different websites. But Times Person of the Year is the Silence Breakers. Woman like Uber engineer Susan Fowler, who set off a national reckoning with sexual harassment. That's not the first one I would have thought of.
But she's the one, though.
But she is. When I started thinking about it.
Because this slowly built momentum, but it started in Silicon Valley.
Yes.
It started there.
Really?
Yeah. That's where, if you go back and look at the timeline, and when they start breaking this down, and the first big stories that happened, it was what was going on in Uber. It was going on in a couple other Silicon Valley companies. Yeah, they had all their first scandals that broke, but because we didn't know the names, we knew the company names, but we didn't know any of the parties involved.
Right.
We didn't know any, so we barely paid attention to it. But it was a really big issue, and there's been a culture shift already in that industry.
Right.
And then it trickles down and starts happening, and politics has always been happening, and it starts happening to Hollywood, to names that we know, and that's, you know, on the heels of what was happening with Cosby, where everybody thought that was just an isolated event.
Right.
Then, you know, the watershed moment, she starts it, but the watershed moment is Weinstein.
Well, I got to say, I thought it might have been Colin Kaepernick because, you know, whether you agree or not agree with taking a knee during the national anthem, you talk about having people talk about it at least and bringing it to light and bringing some change. It did all that, whether you agree or disagree with what he did. And he did it at his own peril because now the NFL is not, they're not going to hire him, and so he did it at his own peril. So I could have seen where they would have made it him, but what the people that have come out and spoken, I think there's going to be greater change from all of that Me Too stuff. I think you're going to see greater change in the workplace.
In the world.
Yeah, because people are now aware of, I can't say those things I used to say. You got to watch what you say. Something we used to think was just fun and silly, talking to a woman in the workplace, that's not acceptable anymore. And I think more change has come from that than the take a knee thing.
Yeah, you know, the taking a knee thing is pretty controversial. I spoke with a special forces guy, a friend of mine last night who was very opinionated about it. He said he has his right about it, but he's pissed off at him about it, too.
Sure.
And so it's caused a divide. I do think that the police brutality, I mean, remember at one point last year and this year, every week was a police brutality video that somebody was getting shot. I'm sure it's still happening. Haven't seen it as much.
Right.
So that's got to be something not directly to Colin, but the conversation to be had. And then this one, it's hard to hate on women or people that have been victims. So time was probably like, and it was this, even though it was towards the end of the year, this is without a doubt the reckoning of these people, and it is the biggest story of the year.
And I think it has changed. I think it's brought the most change. I mean, not that there was an issue with it here in this building or anything like that, but I know other places where it was still somewhat of an issue, and people said, hey, let's have a big meeting about what's proper and not proper to do in the workplace. And I think it's trickled down to the regular everyday guy. This is not just about Hollywood, actresses,
right?
You know, they're just who we kind of pay attention to, but it's kind of trickled down to the everyday person.
But we're nowhere near being at the end of this.
It's not at the end. No.
They're still got me. Like I said, what we saw happen in Hollywood was probably just the more visual part of it, or the name recognition part that we're having. But we're having scandals in Tallahassee. I anticipate scandals here in Orlando. I figure that this is going to continue to happen for quite some time.
Oh yeah, there's still investigations being done. There's still people holding out things. But I think just like today, where if somebody were to say something about a black person or a Hispanic person or a gay person, a derogatory term in mixed company, you'd be like, whoa, it would be like shocking. It would be like, you know, to most people, obviously there's racists and bigots out there, but I think that's where we'll be with this conversation 20 years from now, 15 years from now, where it's like,
really?
I do, because we're having to go through it now for the kids that it will just be commonplace. Same thing like with us in the 80s and 70s. It's just kind of how our evolution of a society goes.
Okay, yeah, if you would like to guess one of the six things you knew we talk about, we'll give you a chance to do that now. 407-916-1041. That's the phone number. If you can get through, then we'll take you and see if you can guess. You know, when I wake up at 4 in the morning, I grab a pen and a piece of paper, and I'm like, okay, what am I talking about today? And I'll watch a little bit of the news, like, oh, that's good. Oh, that one bores me. Oh, that's too negative. Oh, that's yeah. that's got death in it. I don't like that. Oh, that looks fun. So, you know, so you're trying to get into my head, not really just what you think other talk shows will be talking about.
It has to be specific to you. No, like Batman claws?
Well, the Batman thing was good. You know, yes. That called to me.
Yes.
But there'll be other things, too, that I'll...
call to you.
Yeah. So here's your chance to see if you can get in my head. Real Radio, 104.1. Listen to the Monsters Morning Drill Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio, and you're going to want to look at our website at monsters.fm. Blogging Molly is putting up so much stuff on the website this month. You're not going to be able to consume it all. You got to go check it out. There'll be prizes, monster Christmas songs, all kinds of cool stuff when you go to monsters.fm. So
right.
Check it out. Blogging Molly is here getting ready for the nerdy news coming up in a little bit. And also Ross Pageant is here, Monster Comic of the Year.
What's up, Ross? Want to talk about Hogwarts in here?
Yo, I want to talk about everything.
Hey, Ross.
And I've came to the right place.
Your reign as Monster Comic of the Year is slow.
It's dwindling, going away,
just
man.
Just 2 months away, man.
It's going to be cool to show up to the tournament this year. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to feel real cool.
You'll be the king. You'll be my year.
Yes, perform for me, jesters.
Yeah, and the other guys, Michael and Daryl, last time's winner, they'll be there, too.
Yeah, Michael. It's going to be a lot of fun for me to go back to the tournament. That was such a crazy time for me last year, and whoever wins it this year, strap in, because... it's awesome. It really is.
Are we going to get our tattoos before your title goes away? Raise hell, eat cornbread?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah, okay,
well,
sure.
Listen, I want you to know, just like with the Miguel Colon and like with Devin.
That was the name.
Just because you're not Monster Comic of the Year doesn't mean we don't want you coming around and coming in. I mean, you're kind of a lifetime member.
Yes.
You get what you get. Lifetime
even if
membership.
We don't remember your name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Even then.
I'm sorry, Miguel, Endeavor. Yeah. They did great.
See, they don't spell their name like sauce.
That's why I always remember your name.
If your name is Ross and you spell it like sauce, as I do, no one will forget your name.
It's true.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
We got people on the line that want to guess one of the six things they knew we talked about. I mean, something I probably saw on the news, and I'm like, oh, we got to bring that up. If you get it right, we'll give you a prize. Sean, you're on Real Radio 104.1 with the Monsters. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Russ. How you doing?
All right, buddy. See if you can get inside my head and see what kind of topic I would pick.
Batman and boobs.
Well, Batman with boobs.
I think it's easier to get in Fort Knox than your head, but I'm going to go with the 17-foot python they've got.
Why, of course.
Where is that at?
Because Savannah is here, and it's a big story. And it's allegedly the largest python ever caught in the state of Florida. They did it yesterday.
Woo!
Very good, Sean. Let me put you on hold, sir. See, it's not that hard.
Who caught it?
Not that hard to get in my head. Let me put you on hold. You get a prize from the prize pinata, and I don't know who caught it. It wasn't that same guy that we've been...
Yeah, I'm looking right now trying to find who caught it, because I didn't hear this story yet.
It's a 17-foot python, and during the time when you're able to catch pythons and get paid by the state, how much do you think for the world, not the world record, the Florida record for python, how much do you think the trapper got for that python? I'll let you take a guess. Ross Pageant.
$15,000.
Blogging Molly, what do you think the guy got that caught the 17-foot Florida record python? How much?
$37,000.
Angel?
$1,200.
$1,200. Let's go, Carlos.
Yeah, I actually saw a story. It was 69.
69. And then Savannah,
I don't know why that makes me laugh still.
You probably know.
Maybe I don't know, but I'm maybe like $300-$400. It's not a lot.
It's $350. Yeah, Savannah's right. Savannah got it right. And they caught this. It's the record, right? And the guy was so happy.
No,
that
the record is in 2013, an 18-footer.
Well, they said on the news yesterday that was the state record. Where do you see that at?
Oh, it's on the Sun Sentinel is what I'm looking at right now, but that's the first thing that popped up.
Okay.
In Miami-Dade.
I just want to go back to me and blogging Molly's answers of $17,000 and $35,000.
Little over.
That's what they have to pay me to come close to a snake like that.
Yeah.
I I just hate snakes. I know other people hate other things. Some people hate spiders. Some people...
Spiders. I hate spiders.
So if you could be in a room full of spiders or a room full of snakes, what you going to pick?
I would go snakes. I don't like anything with eight legs. I don't like the number eight. I blow through stop signs. I don't do eight. Number eight is not... Eight. No, nothing.
Why?
About it.
What traumatized you?
It's symmetrical.
I like it.
I really love your octagon joke.
Did a spider... Did a spider like jump on you when you were a kid or something? Or were you stuck in a room with spiders? Because I know what happened to me. I remember just vividly. I was fat kid, my Dusty Rhodes t-shirt on. I was probably 9 years old, really fat.
Do you know how many stories start this way, Russ?
I know.
All of them.
No. Because I was just about yesterday. To say, first there's the snake that chased you across the yard.
Well, I was going to finish the story.
Now there's a spider that was riding the snake that they were chasing you together?
No, mine is not a spider story. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'll hold spiders. Spiders are no big deal.
Well, how about this one? Go!
It's a snake. And this black racer chased me across the yard, and I'll never forget looking back, and its head was up, and it was running after me.
There ain't no black racer big enough in the state of Florida to eat your fat little ass.
Well,
Oh,
we're going there now.
Yeah, you can call me fat if you want. I don't really care, but I'm just telling you, because I've told you this 20 million times. That snake was not chasing you.
It was chasing
you
me.
You made that up.
That part you made up. I don't make up stories. B.
That's a made-up story right there.
B. I remember it vividly.
Yeah.
Like
you
the
remember
oxygen
a lot
just
of it.
Got sucked out of that room. Yeah. Everyone's trying to hold that in.
If you remember it vividly, you just made it up.
I did not. No.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything vividly.
Me neither.
But, you know, either I dreamed it or it really
you
happened.
You dreamed it, probably.
Whoa.
The story's already gone to it. I might have dreamed it.
Wait, Lowe's.
Yeah, that was one round of interrogation. The guy's already saying he dreamed it.
No, wait, hold on. Did you not pick up? Just last night, he spent better part of his night dreaming about an astronaut.
You're right.
Well, I did. But honestly, when it comes to old memories like that, sometimes I think I dreamed it. Just like the thing with the UFO, right?
Yeah.
If my mom and my sister weren't there, I would sit back and go, man, I must have dreamed that. There's no way I really saw it. Thank God I had two people in the car with me who go, no, we saw it too. I would think that was a dream. The snake
and
story.
And you insist that you've never done mushrooms.
I call them my reality checkers. Blogging Molly is one of my reality checkers. Every now and then I'll think something. I'll be like, was that real or did I dream that? No, that wasn't real. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's a good friend right there.
Well, I know, but she's not around for all the stuff that you do. So I have
to call her and ask her.
No, she does. Yeah, every now and then she puts her in Savannah's pocket.
But Ross, do you trust your memory? Do you trust the things you think you remember when you were a kid?
Man, do I trust my memory? No. There's no chance. I'm all about the now and the future. Right. The past is gone.
So look, I love some of the stories you've been telling us. So like one of the stories you told us about, let's see, I'm thinking, what are some of the good stories he's told us recently about
sleepwalking.
Chick-fil-A.
Okay, the sleepwalking. Do you think maybe part of that story is something you had a dream about and now you're presenting it as reality, but maybe it didn't really happen? Or are you sure it happened?
No, it definitely happened. When you walk into a lobby, 12, no clothes on, bloody toe. I'll never forget the conversation with that guy behind the desk and him going like, I do not get paid enough.
So there's not part of you that
no,
thinks...
No, that definitely happened. But if you're talking about like important things,
yeah.
Nothing. Nada.
You don't trust any of them.
No, I don't trust like important things.
Yeah.
Only like things that have personally that I encountered with, but like... Just truly, like, important things, nothing.
There are certain stories that I tell, and I've told it many times, and I start to wonder, okay, is that exactly the way it happened, or is that just the way I dream about it? Like, the story I've told about me and Bo and the hookers in Las Vegas.
Right.
And we're walking down the road, and Bo's kicking a can. Like I think it happened like that.
Right.
That's a pretty big one to forget, bro. I mean,
you know, what happens is that both of them have to look at each other and go, did that happen?
We told that story the other day when we went camping, and when I'm telling the story, I'm like, there were five big black guys that were standing ready to throw us out, and Bo's like, no, there were just two. I'm like, well, God, I remember Asian. Five big black guys. And so the story kind of changes as
morphs.
You get older. Yeah.
And as a creative person, all of us can attest that, you know, sometimes things happen and we know it's the good baseline for a story. We just make up the rest, throw it all in there. And then when we tell the story, because Lord knows there's a lot of horrible storytellers in the world right now that hold you hostage in a conversation.
Oh, I hate that.
Because if they don't have a beginning, a middle, and a punch,
yeah,
and you're telling me a story, oh my gosh, I want to kill you.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves, and I'm not going to go specific. No. But there
don't
are people...
talk about Jimmy when he's not here.
That was the sexiest thing I've ever heard Savannah say. That was awesome.
Oh, thanks.
And if you don't have a beginning, middle, and a punch, get out.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Savannah.
I would say all of my stories, at least 25% are BS. At least. Minimum. We're starting there, and it's all to make the story better, funnier, or super.
Right.
All right, here's a chance for you to get to know Savannah, Gatorland Gladiator. You're listening to Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Country fried, baptizing gravy, can't wash off what the good Lord made you. No matter how far that highway goes, an old dirt road to get you home.
Come on!
If you see it in the right when they try to drive you to bullet.
That's what's up.
I like that guy.
Come on!
That's Bubba Sparks!
His job. That's his job. He just said, come on.
You don't know about Bubba Sparks?
I know about Bubba Sparks the rapper.
That's who this is.
Same guy, dude.
What the Bubba hell Sparks? Happened to Bubba Sparks?
What are you talking
Bubba
about?
Sparks is Dirty South. He's with Cole Ford on this.
I don't really know.
Come on. That's time for Savannah, Gatorland Gladiator.
Defender. All right. Gatorland Gladiator. I fight for alligators. That's my part. Yeah, okay, try it again. Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it's Savannah. Gatorland Gladiator. Now I can't say
it. Okay, do it again. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for Savannah. Gatorland Gladiator.
I fight for alligators.
That's good.
No, it's not that. You got it wrong. It's a fight for alligator rights.
Oh, I fight for the rights of alligators.
There you go.
Dang it, I blew it.
Yeah, because it's gladiator, alligator. That's what
rhymes. Fight for the rights of alligators. Okay, so this segment is being sponsored by Gatorland Orlando, Florida. It's a favorite place of mine. I'm there every day. First theme park in Central Florida. It's amazing. All revolving around beautiful, amazing animals. Join Gatorland tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. for West 2's Share Your Christmas, benefiting the Second Harvest Food Bank. So come on by Gatorland. Drop off your donations. Say hey to me. Say hey to Brandon. Everybody that's out there. Help people in your community and be a part of our family for Christmas. I sure would love to see you. I'll be there tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Don't forget to search Gatorland Vlogs on your YouTube and check out what goes on every day at Gatorland. I'll put one up right now on Real Radio's Facebook. I met an astronaut this morning.
You did? He's cool too, wasn't he? He's awesome.
I met someone who went out of the Earth, out of the Earth's atmosphere, all the way into space like American badass Will.
Right.
I think that's the coolest thing in the whole entire world. I wish I could go to space.
You do?
Yeah, I really? Do. I wish I could go to space, no humans, and I could just take some alligators and crocodile babies up there with me.
And maybe a multiplying ray, make more meat.
Yeah, and maybe, because I would be my good friend. You know why? Because I work really hard, and we could all work together. And that way, I would never have to bring humans there.
Oh, please. If it was multiple ships, multiple Savannahs on a ship, the entire ride would be, I hate that bitch.
Yeah, I hate that bitch.
I hate that bitch. That bitch is jealous of me.
Who would give you attention if you just had you up there?
Oh, my God. I give myself attention all the time. God. Duh. Why do you think my hallway is littered with mirrors?
Don't you think Savannah is being a bitch? Yeah, she thinks she's better than us. She ain't better than me. I'm Savannah. Yeah. No, you're Savannah. I'm the Savannah.
Uh-uh, I'll snatch your hair out.
Yeah.
This sounds each other. Like a crazy episode of the Meeseeks from Rick and Morty. That's an obscure reference, but that's for you listeners in your car.
I like it. You know why?
Why?
Because I like, whatever. That's it, right? This is my United States of whatever. I love it. Okay, so yesterday I got attacked by a goose at Gatorland.
Let's talk about it.
How many times does that happen?
Like seven.
Oh, really?
Six or seven times. There's a goose that lives at Gatorland. Everybody likes it. It gets along well with everybody.
Has it got a name?
Yeah. His name's Goosey Goose.
Goosey Goose.
And so I just wanted to inform you guys that I haven't gotten bitten by anything at Gatorland, knock on wood. other than a goose. Mm. And it has happened multiple times. And I stay away from the goose because I know the goose doesn't like me. It's got beef with me. I don't know what it made it
I know.
Up about.
I know.
What is it?
Its name. It's yeah. really upset about
having... I didn't name it. It's had that name since before
Imagine
I even was there.
Naming your kid Human McHuman Face.
No, yeah, Goosey Goose is sort of making fun of his entire people.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is also because of that saying, what's good for the goose is good for Savannah.
So you're saying, once again, there's some there's a living being that has a problem with you that you don't know why. Okay. Another living thing that has an issue with you.
It all started when I first started working there. I was walking down the way. I was talking to some kids. We were having lots of fun. And all of a sudden, the goose came out of nowhere and started chasing me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
you're too loud.
But I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of turned around, and everyone was like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, it's fine. The goose just gets excited. Then it started ripping the buttons off the front of my shirt.
Oh, the goose was a Weinstein, eh? Yeah. He's like, screw the goosing. I'm Weinstein.
Goosey.
And I didn't know what to do. So everybody was like, why is he doing that to you? I was like, I don't know.
That goose loves booze.
Look at my body.
I can't push it, the goose, you know, because people might get the wrong idea. I don't know how to interact with birds very well.
I've seen you tear up a bucket of birds.
You absolutely hate birds from what I remember.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I want to do them harm. I just want them to stay away from me. I'll stay away from them. We're all good, right? So
yesterday I was making
a vlog. And I went out to film the flamingos. Well, you can't film the flamingos because the goose won't let you.
He's protecting them.
The goose protects the flamingos. And if you try to make a video of the flamingos, the goose will holler at you till you leave.
Yeah, the goose.
Or he'll fly over to where you are and try to bite you until you leave.
I heard him like, hey, leave them pink bitches alone.
Hey, will a goose have sex with a flamingo?
It can't. It can't get up that high. Yeah, it don't do it.
It thinks about it, though. Yeah.
That was a good question.
Thank you.
That was a legit question.
He's like, if I was a goose, I'd try and bang a flamingo.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them there. And they got a goose.
So, bang a flamingo.
Anyways, nice pink. I took someone with me so they could handle the goose, and I could just film them handling the goose, because the goose is pretty fantastic. I mean, it's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
That's why drug dealers used to use geese, because they're really loud. They're very territorial. They protect everything.
And flamingos. Drug dealers had flamingos, too.
That's just for pretty.
You're trying to run up on my house? I got 16 geeses, okay? And they're going to get you. And then the flamingos come from the back. Pagata.
So anyways, I took someone with me. We took even food and treats, like it's Goosey's favorite foods. So we put it down. I'm trying to film the whole thing. Goose looks up in the middle of everything and decides to charge me. So then it comes after me, starts biting me on the leg, starts trying to crawl up that side of me. The girl has to pick him up,
well,
and they have to walk
away.
Well,
and thought of you as the biggest threat.
Yeah.
I am a big threat.
Oh,
how about that?
That was actually your wrestling name.
The big threat.
Here she comes. Big threat.
Anyways, it's a really funny story. If you want to see Goosey Goose, you can check it out at Gatorland Vlogs on your YouTube. And I just can't go near geese. This is not my thing.
Watch
Sorry.
The whole demeanor of that bird change when you name it Ronald.
Yeah.
Just give it, like, a... I just feel so sorry for
it. Give me another name. Who came up with the name? Kids?
No, yeah, kids came up with the name. Like, kids wrote in and came up with the name for Goosey Goose.
It shows.
Goosey Goose.
Sometimes giving the kids the keys to something.
Look, I have a frog named Frogger, so don't hate on the naming process.
God. Do you have an iguana named Iggy?
No, I don't. I hate iguanas.
Oh.
Iguanas are vegetarian. They poop too much.
They really do. That's why
yeah.
gross.
That's why I don't like them.
Yeah.
What? Anyways.
Yeah.
Come to Gatorland.
Bail.
Check out West 2's Share Your Christmas tomorrow morning. I'll be there all morning. It'll
be
fun.
Tomorrow you're not going to be with us because you're going to do some TV stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I have to be there at 6 a.m.
But we actually are going to have the goose in her place.
And ironically, goose is just as loud as Savannah.
Yeah. The goose is ridiculous.
So, okay, tomorrow when you're with Gatorland, are they going to let you dress like Savannah Claus? Are you dressed like Savannah Claus?
I had that conversation yesterday, and they're debating it. They will let me know today, and it depends on how tight my Savannah Claus costume might be or be not this year.
You have a Santa Kini.
Well, listen, you. Now, Ross.
Last year it fit. This year I don't know.
Ross Pageant doesn't know about this, but Savannah was bitten by what's called a Lone Star tick. And when the Lone Star tick bites you, it makes it so you can't eat meat. So now she's allergic to meat, and she's lost about, I don't know, it's like 10, 15 pounds since she was bitten by the Lone Star tick.
12 pounds, to be exact.
Yeah. You're like the worst Spider-Man story I've ever heard.
And now with my powers, I can lose a small amount of weight over a long period of time and not be able to eat.
What's your mutant power?
I'm a vegetarian. I'm weak, and I'm frail, and I'm vitamin... I need it.
Deficient.
I don't want to be a vegetarian. I don't want to.
Superhero story ever.
I know you've lost weight since you've done this, but have you thought about going to the doctor to confirm? Because I know you just got it from WebMD.
Listen.
To maybe confirm that it was the tick.
I have this, whatever it is that's inside my body is making me lose weight.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ride it out till I get to where I want to be, and then I'm going to go to the doctor.
Huh.
I'm not going to go to the doctor now and stop the weight loss process.
But what if the tick is still on you somewhere and still sucking your blood?
I've been inspecting my body every day.
Uh-huh.
I cannot find a tick.
You've checked it all
today
out.
I'm going to get my hair done. They will inspect my head.
That's where I think the tick is. I think it's somewhere in that. You have a pretty big head.
Shut your face.
You called me fat earlier. I'm not. Being mean.
I didn't call you fat. I said you used to be fat sometimes a lot now.
Okay. I don't think you've combed the entirety of your head yet. I bet you that tick is hiding there somewhere.
That tick ain't in my head.
When did you get bit by this tick?
When I was in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Lone Star tick,
so she assumes it was in Texas.
He comes from Texas.
Ross Padgett, I don't know if you know this, but here on The Monsters, we have all kinds of technologies that other people don't have. We have the ability to have tiny little phones, little baby phones. And on the line with us right now is Lemmy the Tick that's living somewhere on Savannah.
Lemmy, like from Motorhead.
Oh, okay.
Is this Lemmy the Tick?
And he's calling. He's on her, and he's calling right now.
That's impressive.
Lemmy, are you on Savannah right now?
Excuse me. I'm eating her left thigh right now.
Oh, you're...
that's your right one.
He's on your thigh. Quick, take your pants off.
She's reaching for you.
Oh, I just moved.
Where'd he move to?
Digging, and she's looking for you.
Where did he move to?
Where did I move to? What's the spell? Rhymes with Richie.
You don't want to know. So Lemmy the Tick, she says now that she's lost 12 pounds since you've been eating on her and biting her.
And I said thank you for that.
You're welcome.
At what point, though, if she starts to waste away, which it looks like she's wasting away, she gets close to dying, will you stop eating on her?
No.
Because my blood's good, right? It's like whole D vitamin milk.
The blood is like cotton candy.
Yeah, it is.
Lots of those.
Did you like that I just ate that astronaut ice cream this morning?
That was a nice treat this morning.
So, awesome. Lemmy the Tick, who's a Lone Star Tick, do you bite people that eat meat and protein because you like to get the protein, or is there another reason why you like to jump on people?
Just like blondes with big boobs.
Lemmy, ask you this. Well, first of all, tell Ross about your little teeny belt that you have.
Oh, I got a little belt.
You're a tick with a belt. Is it a belt buckle?
Yep, it's a little belt buckle.
What does it say on the belt buckle?
What's up? I'm a tick.
Okay, so Lemmy, we have to go to a Christmas party on Thursday night. I don't have a date. I'm going to let you be my date. Do you have like a tick suit you can wear?
Mm-hmm. I got a tuxedo.
A tuxedo?
Okay, that was awesome. You stuck the landing on that one, Lemmy.
Lemmy's got some impeccable timing.
That was very impressive.
Now, Lemmy, when you're a tick, I thought you only stayed in one spot and just sucked that spot until you were done. How often does a tick move?
Every 69 minutes.
69 minutes.
Wait a second. I've heard that before.
Lemmy.
Nah, I can't.
We're going to have to take pictures at this real radio party, so.
Okay. I'm down.
I need you to not be full, because I don't want to be there with like a fat tick.
No. I'll take a nice poop on your shoulder.
Gross.
Are you a fan of the TV series The Tick?
Who's my favorite?
Favorite, yeah. Hey, now, Lemmy, I have a theory that you've been hiding in Savannah's hair somewhere, and I think you're telling us you're in other places, but you're really in her hair, because that's a pretty big head to hide on. I'll be honest with you.
Yes, it's true. I may be in her hair, but but half of it is fake anyway. So.
Oh. Whoa, listen. Listen.
What?
My better blood is not in my head, though.
Oh, where is it?
My better blood's like in my armpit.
I'm good.
Well, he said hair. He didn't say where it was.
I don't have armpit hair. I don't have no hair except my head.
All right, well, you just sound like you're just eating, Lemmy.
Yeah. That's what I do, bitch.
All right. Well, there you go. There's Lemmy the Tick that's hiding somewhere on Savannah.
Oh, my gosh.
And has made it so she doesn't eat protein now. So
please, somebody draw me a picture of Lemmy the Tick and send it to me so I can put it on my Savannah blog for real radio.
Maybe you could do some contest, give him a t-shirt.
Send me tick drawings. Like,
can we give him a t-shirt if they draw a great picture of Lemmy the Tick?
Yes, we can.
Okay, all right. So,
with his belt on and cowboy boots at the Christmas party.
Tuxedo.
Because that was a dime. I cannot. Yeah. Yo,
we should have just dropped the mic right there.
Maybe the Tick did.
Maybe he did.
But you know what?
Maybe he was done then.
He did drop the mic on. That's what I do, bitch.
He's very, very snarky Tick.
Yeah, it's a snarky him. Tick, but also has like this gentleman aspect to it. Yeah. I believe there's a thank you.
And he's helping me with
during
the,
that
like
conversation.
He's helping me lose weight.
Yeah,
he's great for my self-esteem.
Yeah. Right.
We should mass produce these Ticks.
Hey, I think you're onto something.
I think we're gonna make $1 million by the end of this morning.
Hey Ross, have you ever had a Tick on you before?
No. I've had a dog with a couple Ticks, and I got like way too into taking them off. They're kind of like, it's like a journey.
Yeah, it's like,
you know?
Bubble wrap, right?
Yeah, it's like a morbid bubble wrap. Because there's still a little life there. But I'm going to kill you.
Do you burn them? You burn your ticks and watch them blow up?
I've burned them. I put them in a sink. I'd rather not talk about it. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Hey, Savannah, so out at Gatorland, we talked to people today. They're doing special things at different theme parks. Every theme park has something for the holidays.
Right.
What are you doing at Gatorland?
Well, tomorrow morning we're doing West 2 Share Your Christmas, so people can just drive through. We'll be all set up. You can drop off all the donations you want to give to Second Harvest Food Bank, and we'll make sure they get to where they need to be. West Channel 2 will be out there. Brandon will be out there. He's our new He's our new media person.
Because
he does a lot better talking than I do.
He does a lot better talking than I do.
Okay? Well, I get angry quick. I'm quick to anger. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Was the name of your second album.
Quick to anger. So they don't really want me on the news.
Oh, come on now. You're a professional broadcaster.
I am a professional broadcaster. However, I am quick to anger. So, you know, sometimes I don't need to talk. I'll just stand there and look pretty.
Quick to anger, Savannah.
So people can come drop off their donations. I'll be there. We can say hey if you guys want to come by. It'll be a lot of fun. It was last year, and we take all that food and we give it to Second Harvest Food Bank for West 2 Share Your Christmas. It's a great thing. We do it every year.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much, Savannah. Hey, I'll bet you. I'll bet you that Savannah, if given the same opportunities as Lindsay Lohan, you'd do the same thing.
Uh-oh.
And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Wash off what the good Lord made you. No matter how far that highway goes, an old dirt road to get you home. Come on. If you see it in their eye when they try to laugh, you know, pull it. Yes, I agree, Ross Padgett. How great are we?
Are we that great?
I'm kidding. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings. We're Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos. Ross Padgett, the Monster Comic of the Year, is here, and Bloggy Molly. And Savannah has had her hand raised the entire time that we're coming back.
Because really I didn't end my segment right.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Make good choices. Goose Attack video is up on Real Radio's Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, was
that
it?
Okay,
yeah, all right. That was it.
All right. Hey, okay, tell me, Savannah.
Yes.
If you could meet a billionaire that was a bodybuilder, would you date a billionaire that's a bodybuilder?
Very hot.
I don't know. If I liked him, maybe. If I didn't like him, no.
Okay, well, Lindsay.
I'd date somebody in prison if I liked him.
Okay. Lindsay Lohan now is with a billionaire.
Oh, good for her.
And he goes by the name Korean Hulk.
That is badass.
He's an Asian billionaire, and he's the Korean Hulk. And here are some photos that she has recently of her.
Oh my God.
With the Korean Hulk.
He is the Korean Hulk.
And you,
I don't think of Korean people as being that big. It's very odd looking. And on top of that, he's a billionaire. Now, I do not know how he got his billions. But Lindsay Lohan
is taller than him.
First and foremost,
is taller. That is a medium-sized monster.
Why are his arms like that? That's not right. That's like Popeye reversed.
Because he's taking massive amount of roids.
I was going to say, do you think?
That's a massive, crazy amount of steroids.
Are you sure they can get steroids in Korea, though?
They can get the best steroids in Korea.
That's a lot of steroids. Yeah, that guy is probably Russian. Keep it current. Olympics. Russia got banned.
He currently lives in Russia.
Boom!
Whoa. Boom! Bingo lollipop, Ross Padgett.
Icarus paying off.
Icarus is paying off, man. Check out the Netflix documentary that broke out the story.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan is hanging out with a huge Asian bodybuilder. He's also an arm wrestler, and he calls himself Korean Hulk. He's a billionaire, they say, and they don't know how he got his billions.
Now, uh-oh.
God, if you got billions, you would think you know how you get them.
I know. He was taking lunch money since the age of seven, man.
Because everybody else in Korea is 4'2".
His name is Ji Young Ha. Ji Young Ha is his name. And
man, Asian people have the most fun names.
Can we just get Russ to say like 30 Asian names? Because this is going to be a blast.
Brucey Leah.
I guess he's all over her Instagram, and she's telling people she's in love with the Korean Hulk.
Russ, breaking report. Breaking report.
Breaking news.
I look up to go find Korean Hulk. Very interested in Korean Hulk. First story I see, Lindsay Lohan comes out and says, "They're just friends."
Oh, really?
And that really broke my heart, because for a moment I thought she found love.
Well, look, she looks like she's in love there.
She does. Everything about her.
She's doing
kissy face.
She's doing that.
She looks like she's like helping someone out.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it.
Or, hey, will you be my friend? I'll pay you $1 million.
Yeah.
Done.
No, yeah. But I mean,
give me 50 bucks. I'll hang out with you all month.
He's a billionaire, though.
He's smooth. I'm looking at pictures of KH, and he's smooth as hell. I call him KH. And
he
has an iPhone 10 in his lap.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, no button there.
Says they got Lindsay Lohan. She's singing Russian pop songs with the guy.
She's Russian now. She switched. She speaks with an accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's looking for. I think she has citizenship. Angel, you saw that story, right? Where she was giving up, disavowing her American citizenship.
And, oh, I didn't see that part. Yeah. I know she had been in Russia for a while.
I need the vodka.
Yes, and vodka. In Russia, we drink vodka.
Where do you meet the Korean Hulk, I wonder?
Probably at a bowling alley.
They met in Mykonos.
Huh?
They met in Mykonos.
Oh, where's
Mykonos? And they've been traveling the world ever since.
Where's Mykonos? Where is
that? I believe it's in Greece.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Mykonos,
she was on a boat with Steve Aoki and somehow met the Korean Hulk, and then they've been BFFs ever since.
It's where they make
world. Oh, cute.
Yeah, it's where they make that yogurt.
Oh, yeah, Greece.
Who knew that like adding the Hulk moniker to your name was such a big thing? Because now there's a guy who claims to be the Iranian Hulk.
I've seen him, and he is also a beast.
Yeah, so all these guys throw on the Hulk onto their nationality.
Well, there's a wrestler from North Carolina that calls himself Carolina Hulk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrestles for Extreme, We're Better Than You Wrestling.
Oh, well, I wonder if there's an Irish Hulk.
Huh. Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know. I talked to the Hulk Hogan just 2 days ago.
I think Incredible Hulk could pass as the Irish Hulk. I mean, he's green as hell.
That's a good point.
You know?
So, Deborah Roberts is here to tell us what's going on in the real news. And I guess we now know who is Time Magazine's People of the Year. And Carlos called it yesterday, right?
Yeah, the silence breakers, the Me Too movement.
Yeah, I think it fits.
Yeah, you know? I do, too. And it turns out President Trump was their second choice.
He should have been the person of the year. There's no doubt about it. Trump should have been the person of the year, regardless of how you feel about it. He affected every facet of the world.
And he should have been it.
Well, and good. I think the only reason why they didn't go with that was because he was last year's person of the year.
Or no, he asked them not to. He said, don't make me person of the year.
Yeah. Okay.
He said that?
Yes, he did.
He did say that. Yeah. Uh-huh. He said he told him that, but that's not how they pick it, I don't think. What else is going on in the real news, Deborah Roberts?
Well, before I get into the story, I want to make sure, Angel, how's your family doing out in California? Because, man, that state is erupting as we speak.
I talked to my sister-in-law late last night, and she's in a safe spot, but it's incredibly smoky. It's the main thing that she says.
Yeah.
Luckily for where they're at, they're not dealing directly with the fires, but they're dealing with all the, you know, obviously, the Santa Ana winds and the smoke directly. And then one of my high school best friends spoke with her and her family. They had to move. They're the ones that she's got two little babies, and they moved to a different side of town.
Well, she is one of 37,000 people who have been ordered to evacuate. These fires just literally blew up overnight. When I got into work this morning, it was 55,000 acres that had burned, or 70 square miles. Now it's up to 65,000 acres.
Wow.
150 structures at this point have been burned to the ground. A lot of people said they barely had time to grab their pets and themselves.
How does that happen?
Because a wind-driven wildfire will chew up so much space
so fast
that you might look out the window 1 minute, literally in 1 minute, you see the smoke in the distance. The next minute you look and you can see the orange glow and it's right outside your door. And you got to figure, you take 5 minutes to grab your pets, your papers, your family and get in the car, your house could already be engulfed.
Carlos, they had some time-lapse video and it was a couple or a family. They had a horse farm and they showed them kind of hanging out or whatever. Man, the fires are so far away. And then within minutes, the fires were right there and they're rushing to get these horses out. They're like, oh my God, like it was so crazy how fast it happened. They had no idea. And of course, horses will just kind of stay in a barn, right? They won't move.
No, and that's part of the issue, too, is now you've got people evacuating with their animals. And
where are you going?
They don't know where to go.
I know that they stopped production of Westworld because of the fires, and also another TV show called SWAT. They had to stop production of that because they're filming out there. And they had to, you know, and also, I guess the Los Angeles Rams could not practice because of the wildfires.
And now you've got crews as far south as San Diego getting on alert because these fires are spreading so quickly. Yesterday, the Thomas Fire, you know, jumped a freeway and ended up just becoming this horrendous nightmare. And of course, you know, Northern California is still trying to recover from the wildfires that decimated the northern part of the state in the spring.
Right.
And part of the damages from those fires are adding up to all of these disaster declarations we've seen in this unprecedented year, with three hurricanes hitting either the U.S. mainland or our territories. You've got the Golden State completely decimated by wildfires, north and now south. So it's hearts and prayers go out to anybody.
They're losing water pressure.
Yes.
Like, I can't get water pressure up on the sides of the mountains. And the other part of it is understanding what the Santa Ana winds, in the sense of they are the one that phenomenon is what's fueling all this.
Yes, 70 mile per hour winds.
I feel like the planets really mad at us.
If you've never been in those winds, it's a really bizarre thing.
Yeah.
Because it happens this time of year, and it's cooler in California than it is here right now. It's just always kind of cooler. It's drier and stuff like that. Like, you can be standing outside playing or going for a walk or something, and this wind will hit you, and it's so hot, it almost takes your breath away, and then it's gone.
Wow.
Like, it's a powerful force, no doubt.
I never felt anything like that. I've never seen it.
It's weird. Hmm. It's really strange. I think I made a video of it, but I can't remember.
I called it wind.
I did.
California is, you know, you always think of it as green, and then when I moved back, moved away from San Diego, flying, it was like, wow, man, that state just really isn't as green as you think
it is.
It's desert. It's absolutely desert
Everybody
country.
Everybody forgets that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
My mind was blown. I was driving to L.A., and then you're driving in L.A., and it's just desert.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's
plot
crazy.
Plot twist.
Yep.
You thought there was other stuff.
Also, in the news, one of the main stories that has to do with Donald Trump and Jerusalem. Explain to me what the problem is with this, Deborah Roberts. So explain it like I'm a two-year-old.
Well, I need to have it explained to me like I'm a two-year-old.
Okay.
Tel Aviv right now is the recognized capital of Israel. Jerusalem is a holy city for three of the main major religions on the planet, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism.
I know, and I always I wondered why is it that Jerusalem is for Christianity? You would think it'd be Bethlehem, because that's where Jesus was born, right?
Yeah.
He was born in Bethlehem, but he did his work in Jerusalem.
Yes,
kind of like Dusty Rhodes was born in Texas, but he did his work in Atlanta, Georgia.
You're not comparing Jesus to Dusty Rhodes. thing.
He's Thank the you. Jesus of wrestling.
Trying to break, I'm trying to break it down for everybody to understand. Okay.
So it's basically like taking Washington, D.C., right? Uh-huh. And the whole reason why it's a district is so that it doesn't belong to any one particular state. It belongs to all 50 of the United States. Uh-huh. It's kind of like, in that sense, taking Washington, D.C., and there's been, you know, the North and the South have been fighting over who gets to have the capital. And now someone comes in and says, all right, I'll make you the capital.
Oh.
You have Palestinians calling for 3 days of rage. You have the king of Saudi Arabia coming out and saying, you know, this is only going to stoke the fires.
Is it really our place to say one way or the other? I mean,
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm just curious.
No, I mean, I just don't think in today's day and age we have, you know, a lot of, you know, tensions are rising overseas with North Korea.
People are pissed off enough already.
And at us.
Why make it worse?
Yeah. Team America.
Why make it worse?
That's what we do.
World police.
And then locally, of course, the story that USA Today picked this up, so it did become a national story today, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot more outlets pick it up, and that's Omar Delgado, one of the first police officers on the scene of the Pulse shooting, found out last night at the Eatonville Town Council meeting, where I live in Eatonville, that he, 6 months away from being fully vested in his 10-year career, so he'd be able to get his pension, but no, December 31st. Oh. He's going to be let go. He's one of the first officers. He pulled Angel Cologne to safety. He was the national face of the Pulse massacre afterward.
Why are they doing that?
Boo. Because he's had, he has PTSD
right.
after what he experienced at Pulse. Because right. of that, over the last 8 months, he's been on light desk duty. And I don't know why they can't find another 6 months worth of money to just pay the man, keep him on his desk duty, and let him get his pension and his benefits. He's got children at home.
Now, wasn't there a PTSD act or something that passed yesterday? There was a story about that. I had it over here. Hold on.
I don't know, but this is one of, you know, many first responders mm-hmm. here in Central Florida. We had another OPD officer who had to fight to get workers' comp to cover his PTSD. We had an Orlando firefighter who was fired.
I spoke to Josh. He's a paramedic, and I actually spoke to him a couple days ago. And yeah, this is a guy that's been like an exemplary a paramedic for years. As a matter of fact, has won like national paramedic championship
twice.
He actually works with my wife, and she's known him forever. So this guy is one of the most heroic, I mean, greatest guys. He was one of the first paramedics in Pulse.
And
pulled 13 people out when he wasn't even supposed to go in.
I was just about to
and
say
they,
that.
They were still firing, and he went in to save these people. They give him the award for paramedic of the year and then fire him the next day. Or no, the same day.
The same day because he had recorded a city councilwoman who was
Regina Hill.
Yeah, who needed a medical call.
Generic Kareem Brown.
When they went and picked her up, she was reportedly being combative, so he
belligerent is what he called her. Yeah, a complete Yeah.
So he started recording because he said her behavior was increasing his anxiety. It was triggering his PTSD. He is another first responder in Central Florida that we can't forget that these folks are victims too.
And by the way, neighbors and say 13 people and she is suing him. And Regina Hill, if you're so proud of what you said, won't you allow us all to play that that tape of what you were saying to the
child?
I'm just saying, if you're so proud of the way you acted, then go ahead and let's play the tape.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And both she and the town of Eatonville should be ashamed of themselves and how they're responding to these first responders. They're the other part of the equation. Maybe that victims fund that raised millions of dollars should go to help this officer's family have a decent Christmas. You know, 6 months away from getting the benefits
That's
he's busted
crazy.
His ass for
you know what?
The last 10 years. It's just not fair.
I never thought about that, Deborah, the fund that, you know, everybody donated, the Orlando Strong Fund. So none of that went to first responders.
As far as I know of it, didn't. But we had a caller this morning when we were talking about this ourselves over at News Radio 102.5 WFLA, and we had a listener called who said, listen, why don't we make some of this millions of dollars of funds that we made available for the victims available for these first responders who are victims just as much?
Absolutely.
They may not have been shot, but Delgado was the one who grabbed Cologne out and pulled him out of that nightclub. He'll never be the same man again.
Deborah Roberts, thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
We're going to find out what's going on in the nerdy news. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
She gets all the fun stuff.
C-Lane has the blog post ready to go up on the website. You're going to go...
Website's monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Blog and Molly would really love it if you go to the website and check out all the cool stuff she's putting on there. If you got some time, actually, if you want to look busy at work, okay, go to monsters.fm. Look like you're doing work, but really you're checking out the website. That'd be very, very cool. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos, Savannah, Ross Pageant, the Monster Comic of the Year.
You!
Jeff Kaufman is here.
And I dressed up for Molly.
You dressed up for Blogging Molly, who's here with the nerdy news.
That's right.
Woo!
You're representing the Batman shirt. I like that.
Well, you said this morning, dress up like Batman, and you'll be way more productive.
Oh, look at that!
How are you feeling?
There was a story. I don't know if the audience all heard it or if Jeff Kaufman heard it, but they did this study at the University of Minnesota with 180 kids. They split them up into three categories, and they gave them some sort of work to do on the iPad or on the computer that was mundane, kind of boring, but it was asking a bunch of questions. First group of kids, they called them by their name. So they would say, Ross, are you working hard today, Ross?
Yeah.
The next group of kids, they would, instead of it being Ross, they'd give them another name, like John, are you doing great today, John?
Yeah.
And then the other group of kids, they dressed them all, they got to dress up like Batman, and they would say, hey, Batman, are you doing good in work today?
Yes.
And the kids that dress up like...
I'd love to be called Batman.
Yeah, you know? That's a pretty cool name.
Rather than Shlomo or something.
Yeah. I have already decided to name my offspring Batman.
Okay.
Batman 1, Batman 2, Batgirl.
So Blogging Molly is in her Batman costume. Nice.
Yes, and just a quick another little Batman thing. There is now a trivia pursuit card that is false. The answer you cannot answer.
Oh.
In 2018, they asked the question, who has never been Batman? Ben Affleck, Christian Bale, George Clooney, Val Kilmer, or Adam West?
And the answer was supposed to be Ben Affleck.
Yes.
I remember that, actually. That's from a long time ago, isn't it?
2008. And now... they've all been bad.
Now they've all been
bad. Oh, look at that. What it's are the almost chances? Like they knew.
No, what are the chances they picked an actor that one day would end up being the Batman? And for my money, I'll be honest, I love Adam West, but as far as the Batman in my head, I really think Ben Affleck is the best one.
No, Christian Bale.
Stop it, Christian Bale.
He's too skinny?
Nope. Have you seen him now?
Way too skinny.
He is super fat as Dick Cheney.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
He looks exactly like him.
And he's on my Hollywood top five, and right now I've had to take him off because...
really?
Yeah. He'll be back.
I'm going to
say Christian Bale, but that's because he had the best movies.
Yeah.
I think my favorite Bruce Wayne and Batman combo is Keaton.
Oh, hey, he's too small, too, man.
I'm too small.
I'm
a Kilmer guy. Looked like the mob Batman, you know? He always looked like he was right about to cut a deal, you know?
I didn't think Val Kilmer was that bad.
Yeah.
I just
love
you're
Kilmer.
The one.
A Dark Knight's okay, but Kilmer crushes him.
So, my new favorite TV show of 2017...
is?
It is called Dark. It's on Netflix. It is Germany's first Netflix original show.
Really?
Everyone needs to go and watch it.
Why don't you watch some American shows? Because this is America.
No German
bebop beaker crap.
This show, if you don't want to read, then watch it with the English dubbing on it. It's a little weird. You get used to it. I'm watching it for a second time now with the German and the subtitles.
I can take about one minute of Germans talking.
I can't do that. No.
Everyone is comparing the show to Stranger Things. It is not Stranger Things. Yeah, there's parts of it where it goes into the 80s. It is nothing. Stranger Things is fun. It's lighthearted. It is a little scary. But this thing, it's like Lost and Twin Peaks combined in Germany. It's amazing.
If they're talking funny talk, I can't do it.
Then watch it with the English subtitles because it is so good.
Yes, but you're too busy trying to read it. You can't watch it.
Then watch it with the dubbed version. And you don't have to read it.
It's always weird. It's like a bad martial arts movie.
You get used to it, though.
I went yesterday and saw that the Murder on the Orient Express, and everybody's talking funny talk. I can't understand what the hell they're saying. It ruined the whole thing.
You didn't like it?
No. Give me a good Southern accent.
You're missing out on this amazing TV show because this is the best thing that's come out this year.
What's it about?
I don't know. Ozark is pretty good, though.
Yes.
Ozark is pretty good.
See, good Southern accents.
Yes.
This is better.
No
this
funny
is better.
Talk.
This is like, it's no time funny. Travel. And it's amazing. And it's the 33 years theory, and everything happens every 33 years because the calendar is not really 352 days.
Okay.
It's not?
What is it?
Because it's 300, like, it's 352.25. And those 0.25s
add up
to 33 years. And then weird things happen on that day in the 33rd year.
Okay, that's just too much. That's just a lot to think about.
I thought it was 356.
I thought it was 365.
365, yeah.
Yes, 365. It's too much.
That was the dyslexia.
Me too. That's why I was so confused when she said 351.
Oh, man. Wait,
we can't trust her with the numbers.
We're so blowing everyone's mind this morning.
Funny talk.
Yeah. What else is going on in the nerdy news, Brogamai?
So, Queen, one of my favorite bands, one of the bands I regret never seeing.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury's getting a movie.
Oh.
Finally.
Yeah.
But it's been halted.
Oh.
Bryan Singer's been fired, which really, Bryan Singer's
not
really a good
dude. Did you hear the story that was coming from the...
Well, Bryan Singer deserved to get fired because Bryan did something that is despicable, not like his weird stuff with children before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this stuff, he's claiming PTSD because he was such a douche on the set that they brought in the Directors Guild to make sure he was going to show up and do his job.
Right.
Well, he doesn't show up and says, well, because of the abuse I've taken, I have PTSD. Hey, let me make this clear. You're a director. Okay, you know, I know that times are rough. People didn't bring you your water as much as quick as you wanted it.
Yeah.
Well, that PTSD, my ass.
I'll be honest with
you. And they tried to kick Francis Ford Coppola off The Godfather, too. Yeah. So, come on, man.
Hey, let me ask quick. Who was playing Freddie Mercury? Because it was someone who I know was nailing it.
Remy Malek.
The kid from iRobot.
Yeah.
Oh, the kid from iRobot.
Mr. Robot. Thank you.
Yes.
He's supposedly really good, but the problem was he kept saying, hey, listen, I could use to see the director every once in a while. And he wasn't showing up to the set like the guy from Fantastic Four blew it off in New Orleans. And finally, they kept complaining, and he threw some water. He got upset. And I mean, but we know PTSD, first responders, military guys,
X-Men
things like that.
3 viewers.
Yeah basically. But you shouldn't do that.
Yeah. A few other things. Danny Masterson. He's getting written off of The Ranch on Netflix because finally things are coming to light with these rape charges that have been allegated against him.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully, this one kind of hurts me because I loved Hyde on 70's Show and I really liked him. But the more I find out about him,
it's
and
a nasty.
He is not
nasty.
A good guy at all. And his wife has helped him cover it up. So, yeah.
Mm. So, as the star of that is Ashton Kutcher, and you got Sam Elliott.
Deborah
Winger, I think. Yeah. Any comment from any of his cast members?
I haven't seen anything about them commenting on it. All I know is they're writing him out of the show. So, I don't know. I don't watch it, so I don't know.
His last scene was Monday, so that was the last time he was on. So, they're booting him out. They might be killing, but it's a really good show.
Still making money. He's a producer.
It looks like fan screenings of Star Wars. You might get to see a little bit of Han Solo movie, so that's exciting for them.
Okay.
And Disney and Fox are back in talks. Disney might be buying some parts of Fox.
Wow.
Yes. Is this a good thing, though? Do we
Everything
really
but the
need
news.
This?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes, because Fox murders Marvel movies other than Deadpool, which they really had nothing to do with.
Okay. So it's set. Here's what it is. It's Disney's going to buy Fox's movie and television production assets, mm-hmm. while Fox will keep the news, sports, and broadcast network.
Mm.
So we might finally get a Marvel X-Men mashup.
Okay.
Finally get that to take
That
care.
Would make sense, yeah.
And Quentin Tarantino, he wants to make a Star Trek movie.
I know. We talked about that yesterday. What a weird combination.
And
Quentin Tarantino and Star Trek.
Yeah, and J.J. Abrams likes his idea.
Oh, by the way, we had a real life astronaut here today.
Astronaut.
And I asked him, what's better, Star Wars, Star Trek?
Star Wars?
Star Trek.
Yes. Ooh.
There you go. Star Trek it was.
I knew he was going Star Trek.
Wait.
Hey, well, he's a science guy, and science nerds like that.
I
don't like science.
So, okay, so if
or basic numbers.
That's
either.
Funny.
Numbers or math.
So, okay, yeah, if Quentin Tarantino does a Star Trek movie, do you think he can do it, Carlos? I mean, I do.
I think they need to bump it up a little bit because they've had 3 of these like really big blockbusters. So they're probably going to try and mature it up a little bit. And like I said yesterday, he's trying to cleanse his palate. I think he knows stuff about Weinstein. I think this Manson movie is a mistake. I think he's trying to get his... Let me go over here in this lovely little blockbuster world so you guys can kind of forget about some things.
Well, you know,
I have no evidence to support that.
The thing is that...
It
even
doesn't
though,
matter nowadays. You can just say whatever.
Even though the 3 Star Trek movies have done well, they can't compete with Star Wars. Star Wars is by far kicking their ass. But if Quentin Tarantino makes a little more edgy and a little more adult, it might have a chance of competing a little bit more.
But set phaser to decapitate. That's what's going to happen.
We talked about that yesterday.
Awesome.
If it veers too far from what we know,
people will get mad.
Yeah, Star Trek to be, then it's not. It's something else.
So you're saying you don't want to see Mr. Spock using the F word.
No.
Okay. Star Trek has its own language. Like, what if he messes up a word, or what if he throws in a word that's not supposed to be draconian or whatever the hell it is?
Quentin Tarantino is pretty much famous for dropping the F-bomb. They say the N-word. They a lot of blood. I mean, those are his three
down
things.
Down with Spock dropping an N-bomb.
Me too.
Scene one. I'm just saying, man. A little curveball.
Get it out of the way in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, so I go and I type in Quentin Tarantino and Star Trek.
Yeah.
I'll get it right for you, Russ. It's September 16th. Quentin Tarantino prefers Star Trek over Star Wars, discusses how he directed it. So this was already months ago, and it's just kind of breaking now. So,
interesting.
My theory may be wrong.
I just would think Spock is
so crazy. Hugh Jackman turned down the role to play, or turned down the James Bond role back in 2002.
Yeah, why did he turn it down?
Because he said, let me find this. I felt at the time that the scripts had become so unbelievable and crazy, and I felt like they needed to become grittier and real. And he was told, you don't get to have a say. You just have to sign on. And he said, I'm going to continue on with Wolverine.
Okay. Well, you know, he's
done well. A very
believable story. Yes, exactly.
The trailer for the upcoming movie with Hugh Jackman, it's the story
of the circus.
But it's
Barnum and Bailey.
Is it Barnum Bailey? Yeah. It looks really good, but the way they do the trailer is it's kind of like an interview, or it's like they're talking about making the movie. It really was kind of a creative way to
promote it.
Promote the movie.
It's a musical.
It looks good.
It's like the Mulan version of the circus.
Right.
That's how that I look at it.
One of my favorite dialogue lines in any trailer ever is that movie, which is, you know, show business. What is that? I just made it up.
Show business like no business. Look at me, because I'm Wolverine.
I was a big fan of that line.
That's not right.
Wolverine is going to get his very own serialized podcast next year.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be 10 episodes long. It's going to be exclusively on Stitcher. It is Marvel's first ever scripted podcast. And,
so it's like you're actually talking to Wolverine?
No, it's a story. But it's just presented.
But how many
podcast
times do you say the word bub? You know, I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's his
hey,
deal.
Bub.
But Richard Armitage, who was in The Hobbit and Hannibal, is going to be the voice of Logan. And the story begins with two agents in Alaska, and they investigate a series of murders. And who is the lead suspect? Wolverine.
Oh.
Logan. Ooh.
So it's like you're listening to the podcast, but
it's like
a story.
Old-time radio shows.
That's what we need to do.
What does the sound of the claws coming out sound like? I can't imagine the sound effects guy going, what does that sound like?
Yeah, what are we going
to
do?
Claws. We need to do that. We need to do like an old-time radio show kind of thing and put it on the website.
Yeah.
And the only way you can hear it is if you go listen to it on the
podcast. On the app.
I'm down.
Or let's just sit around and tell Christmas stories from our families and put that on the app.
Well, that's easier, isn't it?
That's
kind of what
easier.
We do for a living. That's kind of what we always do.
Yeah, but we're not going to tell these stories to everyone.
I think something new would be fun.
I have secret Christmas stories y'all don't even know.
So here's a little tip that I want to give everybody.
What?
Starting the first week in January 2018, if you watch one Marvel Cinema Universe movie a week, you will be done with the whole thing the week that Infinity Wars comes out. So that is something I'm going to do. Start January, the first week in January, I will watch Iron Man.
What if I made you a bet that AMC does this every time they put a Marvel movie out? They do what they call the marathon, where they play all 9 in a row. Because I took my daughter. She was like 8. It was awesome.
We watched
to see the new Captain America Civil War. We were there like from 6 o'clock in the morning till the movie aired at like 9. It was awesome.
Hey, Infinity Wars, is it getting good response? I know the trailer came out this week. Is it getting good response?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's amazing. I've watched it many times. Not only have I watched it on my phone, on my computer, I even watch it on my TV at home because it's that awesome.
And this story is very, very different. They're teaming up to fight a big bad guy.
That's going
to
take over the world.
Carlos with the checkmate.
Very different than the last 16.
It's different than the Avengers because the Avengers is like 5 or 6 peeps. This is like the teens.
That was the whole thing about Justice League too.
Oh my God. I think it's the same movie over and over again.
Okay. We are sheep.
Yep.
This one I'm excited about, Luther, getting a season 5. They start filming next month, and we might get a Luther movie. I love me some Idris Elba. That makes me very excited.
This is not Lex Luthor. This is Luther
Idris Elba. He's a British detective.
Oh.
Yes.
It was actually pretty good. They had this psychotic woman on that, yes, I loved her, but I don't know if she still exists.
I can't wait. Also, Nerd Christmas. This one, a little bit pricier, but if anybody truly loves me, they will help me make my house to be the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, because Disneyland is doing an auction, and they're auctioning off all those pieces from the Tower of Terror. Now it's the new Guardians ride.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to help me. Yes.
Wow. I'm going to get you one.
So if someone wants to help me make my house the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, I'll love you forever.
So what kind of stuff did they have from the Twilight Zone?
Like the TV screen where that shows the little movie ahead of time. Like, it'll say service elevator, okay, the signs,
fake dead flowers.
All this stuff. Exactly. All that. I want to turn my house into the Tower of Terror.
Is the Tower of Terror here going to be eventually switched to Guardians?
No.
It's going
to
say,
we are not allowed to have any Marvel things except for Guardians.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Guardians is now going, from what I hear, into Ellen's Energy Adventure at Epcot.
Yeah, you know,
Ellen's Energy Adventure. What is that?
It was an. It's
my
a
kid
ride.
Loved that show.
Yeah, it was fun.
He loved it. It was a great place to sleep too. For like 40 minutes, you'd be out cold.
That's
great.
I thought it was like Ellen from the TV show. It is.
Yeah, but she just does, you know, a recorded thing or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Who wants to ride Ellen?
That's cool. I don't want him to take away.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
She rides a Porsche.
What?
She's worth $252 million.
Who's the nerd of the week?
And our nerd of the week is Noel Gallagher.
Oh, why Noel Gallagher? Why the guy from Oasis again?
Because he has a real Twitter account that he is responding to people on. I don't care what anybody says. It's him.
Wait a minute. It's a Twitter account, and he's undercover. He's not saying it's him.
Oh, no. This one is called Actually Noel G.
Oh, so it is. So he's on. What's
confirmed.
So big about that?
It is confirmed.
It's not confirmed, Angel?
No.
It is.
Why do you think it's
it? Where'd you confirm it, Bloggy Molly?
I confirmed it on the internet, and NME told me, and NME knows everything.
Who's NME?
The New Musical Express.
What? Are you just making up people now?
Yeah.
And numbers, too. Angel Wider, why do you think it's not him?
Let's put it this way. If you've watched any of Noel's interviews with the latest album release, he's not really a big fan of the technology. I think he's one of those guys that people do stuff for him. He was responsible for a tour blog last year, and it completely freaked him out. So I'm not sure if he's the up to speed to doing tweets.
Gotcha. So for philosophical reasons, you believe it's not him?
Yeah, very deep.
I mean, that's worse than what she's doing.
It's just what he said. It's what he said in interviews. I watched the interviews where this man talks about technology.
Angel knows Noel.
He's changed, and this is really him, and I believe it.
Are you guys having Oasis beef, you two?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, just like the band. Just like the band. They can't get along. Even the fans can't get along.
If you want to follow her, real Blogging Molly.
Blogging Molly, why can you do this segment?
Oh, because Kaufman and Lynn, they're awesome. They're a personal injury law firm here in Orlando. Jeff Kaufman is a lawyer at Kaufman and Lynn. And if you want to find out more, visit whenyouneedus.com.
Whenyouneedus.com. Jeff, good seeing you, buddy.
Hey, Jeff.
Great to be
Thanks
seen.
For coming in. All right, when we come back, guess what? It's time for Carlos. Take it to the top. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. I get it how I live it.
I live it how I get it. Real Radio Orlando on Facebook. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Hey, I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Angel and Savannah. Ross Padgett, Monster Comic of the Year, is here. And Blogging Molly. All ready for Carlos. Tickets to the top.
Let's go.
See a marching band.
Bing.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that was a regression.
Oh,
but your voice is extra low today, which is kind of, you know, kind of sexy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, your scar is bleeding after that cookie. Dude, that sounded painful.
Yeah, I shot I had a shoot last night, and I was screaming a lot. And so that's why my cookie was so flat.
Oh.
So that's, but also,
indeed.
Also, it's just not there. The cookie's not there. I'm working on it.
Could you say what you were screaming, or is it under
wraps?
Yeah.
No, I was playing a bad guy for a film, and I was screaming.
You got one
I
more
can
in
smell,
you.
I can smell your skin.
Do the thing you did to me that creeps me out totally. Watch this.
All right, kill the music. I'm waiting for you a long time.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I didn't think you were going to come.
Ugh.
You know what I think you should do?
What?
Run.
Oh, my God!
That's some of the
That's
lines.
So scary!
Yeah,
that was, and I know thanks. You, and I'm terrified! And,
it's kind of like a Black Mirror thing.
That
it's
was
really
nice.
Cool.
That
really
was cool. Some Sling Blade cousin.
Thank you. Sling Blade, evil cousin.
Evil cuz.
Shout out to Bruce and Stu and all the people, a lot of listeners of the show.
Thank
out
you
there.
For
chills. Look, I got
delivering
chills.
That request.
I appreciate it. I always like to act a fool. Hello, everybody! Yes, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, try and take it to the top, make you think... Make you laugh, whatever it may be, and it is Wednesday, and my voice is a little shot, but you know what? It's okay. We're alive.
Yep.
We're doing good.
Yep.
Ross, I haven't talked to you since I've been back from Colorado.
No!
Did you hear about my car breaking down?
No!
Yep. And then I went to mechanic school. I learned on YouTube. I studied.
What was
research.
What was the technical term for the dilemma that was?
It's really hard to say.
It was stuck in drive.
No, it was out of gas. Out of gas. Out of gas.
Oh my gosh.
Been hearing a lot about that one. The guy who towed my car.
Oh.
Wes. Shout out to Wes. I guess he listened to the podcast much later.
Yeah.
It's like at 8 p.m. last night, I get a text that says,
his ass off.
It just said, out of gas? Really, dude? And at first I looked, I was like, who the hell? Oh, okay, that's Wes.
Like, if there's one guy that could get at you.
Absolutely.
Let Wes be the guy.
Shout out.
I would think in Denver, that's the one city where a lot of people run out of gas.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I thought I had it.
We were on the way to the airport, Ross. That's when it broke down.
Ugh,
well, ran out of gas.
Missed a flight?
No, almost.
That's impressive.
The gas meter is broken on it, so.
And it didn't even cross your mind. You did not even get it cross your mind when the car stopped working.
At 300 miles, when I reset the tank, when I reset it and goes to 300, that's when I know I'm like 20 miles away from going empty.
Put, put, put.
Exactly. And this was at 220, so I think I missed 100 miles. In fact,
oh
I
my
know.
Gosh.
So math was the culprit there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's an 18-gallon tank.
Shout out to Lyman High.
To Lyman High.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Got up to pre-algebra, dog. It's true. Yeah, I went to when I filled it up, it literally filled up 18 gallons or like 17 and 3/4 because I put in a little bit, but. I'm just grateful that it wasn't broken down. Everybody out there who is having a rough day, I hope you can turn it around. A little motivational minute. The way you do anything is the way you do everything.
That ain't right? true.
It is true.
That's a lie.
It is true. Your life is made up of thousands of small decisions.
Can I get a round two on that? Can
yes.
I thought I understood it.
Yes.
But yeah. I one more game on the open. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it.
The way you do anything is the way you do everything.
Okay.
Life is made up of thousands of small decisions that you make every single day. That's what life is. And if you, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So any little thing accumulates and is everything that you do.
The way I eat is not the way I sing.
No, that's pretty damn close. It's close. You know what I'm saying, girl. Come on, man. You need the motivation.
I'm just saying.
Your singing doesn't
The way
eat
I
meat
take a shower is not the
tick
way I sleep.
Question, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
In 2005, this day in history, a film came out that I think if the same film came out today, it would not be controversial. It would not get the same attention because of what we talked about earlier. This was 2005, 12 years ago, how generations kind of get used to something and then it's like kind of commonplace. Brokeback Mountain premiered today.
Wow, yeah, that movie made me and my mom feel real uncomfortable.
Let us go back to 2005, Ross, when you were, 4 years old?
Yeah, I was pushing 4 or 5.
And you were like, cowboy movie!
Yeah, no, I watched that movie cowboy with movie. My mom. Not in theaters, it was just...
The two of you in the living room?
Yeah, it was very strange. Because my mom's all about, like gritty movies and artsy movies, which is very weird because she's very...
conservative?
Yeah, everything else wouldn't, but yeah, we definitely saw that flick. Did it? And my mom was also about like,
I've never seen it.
Here's Titanic. You're never gonna see it? Boobs.
Yeah, I've never seen Brokeback Mountain.
I saw it at the Enzion when it first came out in Orlando with my friend Billy, and we laughed so much in the movie. Now, granted, we were drinking pitchers of beers. We almost got asked to leave the film.
So bad.
Yes,
but it wasn't. It just
was it the Billy.
There were so many stories they could have told. Right in that time. There were so many great stories they could have told about the struggle.
But this is a beautiful story.
But making it like, this is the plight of the gay sheep herder.
No.
It's just, there were so many better stories they could have told.
I can't quit you.
Yeah, I've never seen it, not because I'm like, I'm not going to see gay cowboys. I just never.
It was just a love story. That's pretty much exactly what I said. I don't want to see gay cowboys.
Sorry. Oh, I was first seat at the Enzion. Pitchers of beer, kicking them back, me and Billy. They came over and told us to be quiet three times.
Oh, God.
Shh, you guys are going to need to keep it down.
Oh, no.
And then finally they were like, I'm sorry, guys, but these people keep complaining. And we were like, okay, fine, we'll be quiet.
Well, the story of two sheep herders in Wyoming from 1963 that began a romantic relationship that endured over two decades premiered in New York City. And if you guys remember, this was a big
hubbub.
It was like, can you believe it? These actors are acting gay. Can you believe it? How do they do that? This film comes out today. Does it even get like any type of special attention?
I mean, I don't think so. You can look on soap operas now and there are gay guys kissing and like it's all over.
And that's what I'm talking about. It's stuff like it's our art. It's look, Time Person of the Year, the Silence Breakers, I think that's what it was. It doesn't happen right there, but about 10 to 15 years later, that next generation does kind of catch up with, hey, who the hell cares if it's a couple gay cowboys?
I don't think it has the same bang if it comes out again, but I will say, oh, no!
You, is it about you and Mike Trout?
You did it!
This is not about Mike Trout!
He's so gay for Mike Trout.
I don't find Mike Trout attractive. He's got good forearms, that's it.
Did, is Dirty Jim me too and you?
No, he is not!
Are you sure?
It's
you
like
can
a,
tell us.
It's like a Me Four thing. There's a lot of us involved.
You can tell us.
Oh, man. Well,
but what I was going to say is that that movie, though, was a huge barrier tarrier downer.
Yes, that's actually the promotion for it.
Yeah, it was the tagline on the poster. Tear down barrier movier
thing.
What about Paris is Burning or Caligula or any of those other movies that...
Wait, was it Caligula like animals though?
No.
It was a bunch of everything.
I don't know if gay people are like, you know what really represents us correctly is Caligula.
I'm just saying there are other movies and other stories.
I agree. I've never seen this. Might pop it in the
you
old Blu-ray today.
You should go see it today.
I will. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top. Never stop. Go see Brokeback.
Angel filling in on sports on Real Radio 104.1.
Squatting against your back tire. Hey, what are you? Oh my. Real Radio 104.1.
It's a winter slumber sale going on at the Mattress Firm. The Mattress Firm is America's number one choice for better sleep, and it's a winter time, and they got a great sale going on. Radio. Remember, it's the Monster Pet of the Year contest. Today's your final day to upload photos of your pets. It could be your dog, your cat, your pig. If you got a hamster, whatever you want to upload, you can do it on our website at monsters.fm. And also, you can put a picture on Twitter or Instagram and hashtag Monster Pet Entry. And when do they have it? Until the end of today, Blogging Molly?
Yes, because today is Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. And then tomorrow we will announce, we'll start to tabulate, start voting tomorrow.
Voting starts tomorrow.
All right, right. And then we'll let you know about when you'll find out who the winner is sometime next week. So let's go to monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Angel, let's tell us about Monster Sports.
Was that Black Star?
That was actually Mos Def. That's a track called Miss Fat Booty.
All right, I thought that was off the Black Star album.
No, it's right after that, and that's an homage to my woman crush Wednesday. Do yourself a favor, because Blogster is reviewing this right now, because there was a video I wasn't 100% about. But my woman, go to monsters.fm, click on my blog, My Woman Crush Wednesday. Her name is Amy Jackson, a.k.a. the All-American Bad Girl, out of New Jersey, living in L.A.
Why is she a bad girl?
Nice Catholic girl?
Yeah, take a look at her. She's built.
What's her name?
Amy Jackson. I got her photographs up there on Instagram. If anyone knows her, let her know that your boy's on the radio in Orlando.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if it'll help me out at all.
The angel says, what's up?
Yeah, I said, hey, how's it going?
See, Monster Pet of the Year contest. Let's see, where do I find it?
Angel's blog.
Angel's blog. Okay, let me go up there for Angel's blog. Okay.
And right now, because I did something wrong, so you won't see it won't pull the screenshot, so just click actually on Amy Jackson, and the very first picture should be impressive.
Go to Monsters, go down to Angel's blog. Okay, there I am. Okay, and then Angel's... Oh, there's the... Have you seen this, Ross Pageant, the reindeer boobs?
That's a boob? Yo, that's a boob. That's a straight reindeer boob.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, that's a new trend this year. Girls are doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's hot.
I am...
You're fascinated,
different
right?
form of milk and cookies, yeah. Am I right?
I'm trying to get Blogamon to get a really great prize so listeners can participate and give it's their best reindeer, and that we can give out great prizes for the best reindear in the audience.
Because
we don't have to see their
boob.
We don't have to see their face. Oh, my goodness. She should do reindeer boob.
Yes, she should.
I don't understand it.
I crush her.
Why does she have a butt on her chest? Those look like butt cheeks.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Miss New Booty.
All
right, check it out. So Pizza Hut's test marketing this, and it was one of those moments where I'm like, what took them so long to do this?
And how you going to tie this into sports?
What, Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
So on sports weekend, on sports Saturday or Sunday, right?
Yep.
One of the things that we customarily do, you order food in,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good way to tie it in.
Right.
Like that.
So you're having pizza or wing, you know, they offer a bunch of, and one of the things that you usually don't think of.
Someone's got to go get the beer.
Right. So Pizza Hut today marks the beginning of their test marketing where they will deliver beers with the pizza.
Wow.
Bud products, Shock Top.
Oh, my God.
And it starts today.
The time is now.
Yeah, exactly. Man, that's great. I mean, that should have been like that forever.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of those no-dumb moments, right? Big news locally. So we finally got our UCF situation taken care of as far as the Knights and their head coach goes. UCF Knights on Tuesday hired Missouri offensive coordinator Josh Heupel as the new head coach, replacing Scott Frost.
See.
And they also hired... Dang it, I just had it here. Randy Shannon to replace Danny White as a defensive coordinator. Now, though, that's really, compared to some other programs, Tennessee, who have made their hiring of their replacement coaches a shamble and not handle it professionally, it was impressive to see UCF exactly know who they want, went out and got the guys that they wanted, didn't have to go to second, third, or fourth options. So I like this hire for the guys.
So you do like this guy?
Absolutely, absolutely. I was impressed with his press conference. Randy Shannon, Gator fans, if you're Central Florida, you'll recognize this. He was a defensive coordinator for the University of Florida. And he had a pretty stout D. Well, they just could never move defense. They just had nothing on the offensive side of the ball. And he's has head coaching experience. So it's cool to have this mixture of guys there. I'm very optimistic about this hiring.
Cool.
I think it's a pretty neat thing. What is interesting, though, as of right now, even today, unless it's changed in the last few hours, they still haven't pulled the trigger on if Coach Frost is going to be coaching the bowl game.
Now, I heard last night he was. They announced that he was going to coach, and they made a specific announcement about it on WESH on Channel 2.
Did they? Okay, because within the last hour, I hadn't followed up on that.
And the new coach, Heupel, right? Coach
Heupel.
He will not be coaching.
Well, because
he's going to be up in one of the boxes watching. But he's not going to be.
I'm curious, UCF fans, I'm curious how you feel about that. Because if you thought it was disrespectful for them to announce Coach Frost leaving before the end of the bowl game, what do you think is going to happen while he's coaching this game?
What do you mean? What can happen?
If you're any of the whatever network is carrying the game, this particular game, what do you think they're going to talk about? Do you think for 1 second that they're not going to mention that he's going to Nebraska? Right.
Well, of course they will. They'll mention it. But, well, I think it's very respectful, and I think it's very cool that he's going to stick with the team that he brought to the – I love that.
I understand that, and I get that. I get that on that perspective. But who's ever broadcasting the game, they're not bound by that. Do you think that if you're a broadcaster, what do you think you're going to talk, especially if the game gets out of hand?
Well, you're going to mention it. Well, he's going to go to Nebraska.
Do you think they're going to mention it, or are you going to talk about it? Because then it ends up becoming a football game that's a recruiting tool for him because he's going to Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean.
That's the only way I see it. If I'm a broadcaster, you can't tell me what I can and can't talk about. Are you going to try to tell me that I can only talk about UCF in this game versus Auburn? That's not, like, I don't see it happening that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bigger story. Of course you're going to want to talk about Nebraska. It's a bigger school. You're going to want to talk about that.
Well, all right, and I'm a UCF fan. I don't want to listen to two hours of you talking about my former coach leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that. Yeah. But I like the fact that he's sticking with the team. He has a lot of respect for the players that, I mean, obviously have gone undefeated, and he's going to see it to the end. I would really not respect him because, I'm not their, I'm not coach anymore. Someone else do it.
I see that aspect of it. Yeah. But if you're watching this game on TV, here Central Florida fans, are you going to be cool with 2 hours of them talking about him going to Nebraska?
Well, it might not be 2 hours of it. You're right. There's going to be a portion of it. But
there's going to be a huge amount of that because
how many coaches in college football go totally undefeated an entire season? He's going to be in an elite class if that happens, right?
Not as elite as you think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you think it happens. It doesn't happen that often. I'm not saying that it happens every year, but every couple years, there's a couple teams that end up going undefeated. You know, so it's not that. For rarefied air, it is a feat that is for UCF 100%.
Sure,
and it's a neat thing for them to be included in that club. I'm just not 100% sold on that part of it. You know, with Florida State announced their coach Willie Taggart. He's coming down from the Oregon Ducks, and they'll make that announcement later on today. They'll have that press conference.
Willie Taggart.
Orlando Magic fans, we have a game today, and one of the neat things about today's game, it is Star Wars night at the Amway Center.
Oh, jeez.
Is it Charlotte?
It's
Atlanta.
Atlanta's coming here dress up as any of the characters. They have different promos and things that they're doing out throughout the Amway Center. So dress up as your favorite Star Wars guy. Get out there.
I've gone on Star Wars night. It's really cool. They do a really good job with it.
We didn't have any other questions about how Russia does their business.
Damn.
They're a whole Olympic team. All of it. Blah! Banned.
Done.
They banned them all, huh?
Russia banned from the 2018 Olympics. Clean athletes may compete under neutral flag.
The Winter Olympics.
What
is a neutral flag? What is that?
They can compete, but they can't win medals, right? Something like that?
It's something along those lines is the way I'm interpreting this. So they're going to let them participate. I don't know if they can win medal. If they happen to win a medal, they're not going to win it for their country?
It's going to be awkward.
We will win it for Trumplandia.
We will win it for Ukraine. Yeah, that's huge, man. And that, like, the whole story about this thing has been nuts. The fact that Russia has been state funding this program.
Yeah. Wasn't there another games a few years ago that they had?
Athletes approved. By the panel will complete in a uniform with it'll say Olympic athlete from Russia written on it.
How generic.
That's some salt.
And it'll be under an Olympic flag. So it'll say Olympic athlete from Russia with an Olympic flag, but they will not have the Russian colors on it.
Yeah, they are donezo. They got that's like a hammer. But that's the first time I think in Olympic history where.
But if you win, you're still an Olympic athlete from Russia.
Yeah, but the Russia doesn't get the medal.
I don't think you get to participate. Like, what are they going to do let's say you place gold, right? Are they going to? They're not going to drop down the Russian flag.
Well, no, no. They'll bring down. It'll be this flag for the Olympic flag, and it'll say Russian. The winner is
from Russia.
You know, Ivan Koloff. A Russian athlete.
Ivan Koloff. Where have I heard that name?
Olympic athlete from Russia.
Where's the Olympics this year, the Winter Olympics? The last one was in Sochi, right?
Yeah.
Russia.
Rio? No.
South Korea.
South Korea.
South Korea, yeah. It's the Winter Olympics.
Rio was just 2 years ago. Yeah.
And then we'll wrap up Monster Sports with this. Former 49er quarterback Colin Kaepernick received Sports Illustrated's Muhammad Ali Legacy Award from Beyonce last night at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and he vowed to continue fighting racial injustice in the United States whether he returns to the NFL or not. And that is Monster Sports.
Well, thank you very much. I bet you guys want to know what's going on in Ross thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
in that boy. Brain?
You
every
want
day.
To know. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Real Radio.
Hey girl, let me hit you with some lotion.
Hey
maybe
Angel,
even a vino.
Monster Sports was brought to you by
actually Monster Sports, and this is a really cool opportunity, guys. Is by Lady Jane's Haircuts, a guaranteed spot for your chance to compete in the Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men $50,000 flyaway happening on December the 17th from 3 to 5 at the Lady Jane's near UCF location. You'll be competing for the grand prize flyaway, which includes tickets to a bowl game, airfare, and hotel accommodations for two. If you correctly guess the final score of the bowl game, you could win $50,000 cash. You want more information? Go to realradio.fm, keyword Lady Jane's.
I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos. Blog of Molly's here, and now it's time for the Monster Comic of the Year, Ross Pageant.
Tis.
Ross Thoughts.
Yo, first of all, thank you, Angel, for that smooth music. That was amazing. Second of all, I want to dedicate this Ross Thoughts to the What the Fuss podcast. That's What the Fuss podcast. Rocky Etchy. And a special shout out to an Orlando legend. Rest in peace, Billy the Hurricane. You guys treated me with so much love when I stepped into your awesome podcast room. And it was just my much love and respect to you guys. I wanted to say that last week and I forgot. What the Fuss podcast. You guys are cool. So, Ross Thoughts. I'm the comedian of the year. So, Ross Thoughts is going to be about one of my last comedy shows. And shout out to like the six Monsters fans that were at this show. Nice. So, nice. Texting service can attest that this actually happened.
Okay.
I was doing comedy at the Boardwalk Bowl.
Oh, yeah. You right? talked about that, yeah.
Right?
Which and it sounds like you're just at some bowling alley.
Like I'm on lane 10 slang and fart jokes.
They have a nice place to do the, yeah.
It's a great comedy room in there.
It is.
And both nights were pretty close to selling out, about $1.50 each night.
Wow.
On the second night, this was one of the funniest and biggest, best laughs I've ever got, and it was because it wasn't from my material. Sometimes in entertainment, small, funny miracles happen. I am talking to this audience, and everything is going good. Now, there's something that I do during stand-up that if someone walks in front of the stage or someone is late to the show, I just look at them, and I go... And I just gobble at them yes. until it gets a laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? I commit to it. That's just one of the things. These two guys in the front row, one is super old and the other one is like kind of old. They stand up and they proceed to leave. They're in the front row, so their back is to me. I jump off the stage right behind the super old guy. I say, and it gets like kind of a small laugh, and yeah. whenever it gets kind of a small laugh, I'm like, all right, I just need to say something, because I just set up anything, I need to say something, and then it'll get a bigger
yeah,
laugh.
Boom,
I said, you know why I did that, audience? Because everyone here knows what just happened except them. And it got like a solid laugh. Yeah. And then the super old guy took a left around the table, and I saw his blind man walking stick.
Oh, oh damn it.
Damn,
you're making
dude.
Fun of a blind man.
A rare. And I went, oh my God. And I dropped the microphone and I hid behind a chair. I walked back out. The audience is dying because
yeah.
they saw me realize that I was just a douchebag. All right, let's go back to the ironic statement of like, you know what I just did that for? So everyone here knows what just happened except them. Skirt, tables were turned.
Yeah.
I was the blind guy.
You're the blind guy.
I didn't know that he was, and I'm gobbling at a dude with an inflection, and I'm like, oh, no, that's whatever. But here's the first thing I said when I grabbed the microphone, because you have to say
you
something.
You gotta have a dime. Yeah, killer.
It's all right. And I said, if anybody here doesn't know what just happened, ask the people
who are laughing because they know what just happened. I'm not going to say what just happened on this microphone. I think that guy has really good hearing.
Nice save, sir.
Nice save, right? That's good. I looked at the audience and I asked them, yo, why did I hide? I hid behind a chair.
He couldn't see.
And then you made it worse again.
Brought
it right back up.
Right back to bomb. And guess what happened? I'm finishing up my last joke and I said, my name's Ross Pat. Guess who was just using a bathroom?
Oh.
Guess who just needed some assistance going towards the bathroom? And I really just ended up being a great set.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. Shout out to that blind guy. Literally shout out to that blind guy.
Yes, that's gonna be it.
I see it's falling out of me again. I'm becoming this demon.
A shout out is like a wave to him.
Yeah.
I told you this story earlier, but we went on a monster cruise many years ago, and when you go on cruises a lot of times, there are comics that are on the cruise, and there must have been 900 monster fans on this cruise ship, and there was a particular listener that came to every cruise, and we called him Blind Gary. He was blind. And Blind Gary would get good and drunk, and he wanted to heckle the comedian on stage, but when he was heckling, he was shouting towards the speaker, which was off to the right, and then
the
comedian was up on stage to the left.
Classic.
So he's yelling at the speaker, and everybody is dying laughing.
And they think that he thinks that we're laughing at him because he's like, "You don't know nothing about comedy," and he's just turned
directly.
And he's
just yelling out
sound's coming from, and he thinks he's killing because every time he yelled something, everyone's just erupting in laughter, and the comedian's just shaking his head. It was beautiful.
It was like out of a 90s.
He's just
beautiful.
Screaming at a bush.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
That is great. I was at a stand-up comedy competition. Wasn't planning on saying this. And Mike Hurley, who is such an awesome person to me throughout my entire career with stand-up, I made it to the finals of the competition, mm-hmm. and there was an audience vote for who to win. Now, there is a blind stand-up comic here in the city. His name is Eric. He was not in the finals, but he was in the front row. And they go ahead and they say, please put your hands together for Justin if you think he wins. Put your hands together for Brittany if you think she won. And Ross, put your hands together if you think Ross won. And it was between me and Brittany. And it was very close. So he goes, vote again if you guys only think Brittany. If you only think Ross. Still close.
It's Brittany, bitch.
Mike Hurley, he looks at Eric and goes, Eric, you've got good ears. Who won? Without a beat, he goes, Brittany.
That's great.
Yeah, Ross Thoughts is not sponsored by What the Fuss, but I have so much love for them. Go support Billy the Hurricane's Indiegogo if you can. And yeah, that's Ross Thoughts in the sense of that I kind of poked fun at a blind dude.
Are you performing anywhere?
I am out in like Maitland in the top of January. December is always a very dry spell for a lot of stand-up gigs, unless it's corporate. And if it's a corporate event, I can't even invite you guys.
All right. Well, obviously, we always love when you come in, Ross.
Yeah,
matter of fact, we need you and the audience to help us answer this email.
Oh, dude.
Okay?
I know everything.
All right. Unreal Radio 104.1.
Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Hey, a lot of people have put their Christmas wishes on our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. And Blog and Molly's been working on helping making some connections and making several of those come true. So the Christmas wish thing is already working. If you would like to make a Christmas wish come true, go to our website at monsters.fm, go to the Christmas wish section, and you can read some of the people that are going through some tough issues maybe right now. Maybe just some of them just need toys for their kids. Some of them need maybe some work on a car or two. I mean, it's their Christmas wish for this year, and maybe you can grant that wish, and that'll put you in the Christmas spirit.
Maybe
so go check it out.
Gas.
Just a tank of gas. I said the same thing in there. Yeah. And then also you got today to put out pictures of your favorite pet, okay? And your pet could be the monster pet of the year and win $250 for you. So voting will begin tomorrow, but you still have today. You got nothing to lose. Go ahead and put it up there. Just go ahead and hashtag when you go to Instagram or Twitter, hashtag monster pet entry. Or just upload it on our website at monsters.fm. So you could do that and maybe win. I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos.
and Ross Pageant here today in Blogging Molly. What you got?
Angel just sent me something, and it's just nasty. It's just so good. It's nasty.
Can I see?
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
If Angel sent it, I know what to expect.
Yeah, it's just
it's something
so,
that we missed. I don't know. I don't even know if they still have them.
Oh wow!
Cinnabon chocolate chip cookies
stuffed.
I thought for sure it was gonna be a twerking video.
Exactly, but no,
it was a twerking video.
No, he sends me pizza, Scarface, chocolate chip cookies, and
I was expecting butt cheeks.
me too, Ross.
Yeah, no, this is a more beautiful sight.
Remember, because what was it? A week ago or so, it was a chocolate chip cookie or National Cookie Day or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I had saved that to talk about it, and it was Cinnabon was doing that, and I don't even know if they're still doing it or if it was just for that one day.
I think Cookie Day was Monday, wasn't it?
Or was it Monday of this week?
I want to know.
Man, a good chocolate chip cookie is...
Did you see that thing?
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? It was that day because Carlos was talking about when he came back from...
Colorado.
From Colorado, and he went to that incredible cookie store.
But, you know, I don't know who the CEO of Cinnabon is, but I think he's a wild, crazy man.
What do you think?
Every pitch meeting, they're like, do you want to put your Cinnabon smell on an air freshener? Do it! You want to put your Cinnabon smell on
a
candle? Do it!
Shoes!
Do it!
Do it!
Do it!
Candle!
Do it! You know, it just seems they put... Do it! Make him Cinnabon kid!
Name him Cinnabon! Cinnakid! Cinnakid!
Cinnakid!
Not Cinnakid! Cinna! Yeah. You mean the nut!
Little Frosty!
Hey,
what's up, Russ?
You guys just scared the crap out of him, you know?
No. I'm letting it go until it dies down. What do you think is the most recorded Christmas song of all time?
Jingle Bells.
You say Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells is in third place. It's been recorded 89,681 times, so it's in third place.
I think the guy that's had to count those, how pissed off he is.
Yes. I know. Yeah.
Winter Wonderland.
Recorded. Winter Wonderland. It's number five. It's been recorded 70,471 times.
Fatboy's Christmas.
No.
Ross Pageant, what do you think?
The Hippopotamus song.
We played it the other day.
The Hippopotamus. For Christmas.
Is that a little girl?
It's a good voice.
It's Shirley Temple.
Is it Shirley Temple?
I think it's Shirley Temple.
I didn't honestly, not this is gonna make me sound real good. I didn't even know Shirley Temple was a real person.
Oh yeah.
I legit thought it was just like
Shirley Temple Black.
Sick name for a non-alcoholic drink.
I believe she grew up and she was married to a politician for a while.
She was a legit person.
She actually, and later on in her life, she actually was an inventor. She created Nutella.
Yep.
She was actually the one who created Nutella.
I don't buy that.
Blogging Molly, what do you think is the most recorded Christmas song of all time?
I think it's the Christmas song, the chestnuts roasting on an open fire song.
That's number four. It's been recorded 80,064 times.
So
now, Angel, you get the last shot at it here. What do you think? What Christmas song has been recorded the most?
Actually, Ross does. He didn't get a shot.
Yeah, he did.
I said Hippo song. Hippo.
Winter Wonderland.
Oh, you said Winter Wonderland. That's right. Yeah, you're in fifth place.
I got it.
Oh, great.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have Yourself a Merry Little... What's the name of that one?
Merry Little Christmas.
is it Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Yeah, it is. Yeah, that was recorded. It's seventh place. That was recorded 65,377 times.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa. Well, I can't believe you guys. I was going to make this the trivia question. I thought it was too easy. Here comes Santa Claus. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay.
That's
White Christmas.
That's in second place.
God!
White Christmas is recorded 128,000 times. 128,267 times.
What? I don't even know how White Christmas goes.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Should hit the road.
All right.
Yeah, we kind of crushed that. Is this a little Christmas karaoke?
I think it is, Ross.
Oh, you don't want to hear
us. Hey, girl. Welcome. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
That's enough.
Lemmy doing a white Christmas. No, the number one most recorded song in history that's Christmas related, it was recorded 137,315 times, is Silent Night. Yeah, Silent Night, which is, you know, it's you know, it's all right.
It's like, that is such a dreary song. Make me want to go to sleep.
Yeah. It's not my favorite of the Christmas songs.
But I think it's homogenized enough to be played everywhere.
Dude, driving drunk, I think, is safer than listening to this song in your car.
I think that's a great
example. I go straight to sleep when I listen to Silent Night.
Is there particular versions of this song that you like more than others?
Anything Elvis does in Christmas. Elvis and Christmas go together.
Clay Aiken's Christmas album is to die for.
Of course,
Angel, remember earlier in the show I said it was tacky to combine Batman and Christmas.
I was going
to
let it slide.
Elvis and Christmas go right together hand in hand. Yeah, recorded 49,384 times Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh, just listen to this guy go to sleep on a track.
And then Blue Christmas has been, that's the Elvis. I know it is the Elvis song, but I guess many other people did it because it's been recorded 42,375 times.
This song has been recorded the most, and it's also the competition for Ambien. That yes, song is so blah.
I love this.
This song's sick.
Yeah.
That's the king, man. You can't mess with a king.
And I just like how his name in Spanish is The Vis.
So we invite you all the time to send me email, russ@wtks.com, and we'll get the email and read them on the air sometimes, and we'll get everybody's opinion. Today, I actually have had this one for a couple days, Fran, but I wanted to wait for Ross Pageant to get here because I thought he could help out specifically. Fran has been listening for a long time, and she says, my 20-year-old daughter who wants for nothing, she literally wants just a belt for Christmas, is tough to buy for. She's a minimalist for sure. I want to buy her shares of historically well-performing stock for an investment, and I thought I would ask you guys what to purchase. Mm. No clue in the world where to begin. Any insight on what stock to buy my 20-year-old daughter, Ross Pageant?
I've been waiting for this day! Well, what's her name, Fran?
This is Fran, who's been listening for a long, long time.
Well, Fran, listen up. It's here, Sauce Pageant, here to take care of you. This is my advice.
Well, hold on. We got to work on that, because you're about to give financial advice.
Yeah. By the way,
Sauce Pageant is not going to do it.
By the way, I should say a disclaimer. All financial advice you heard on the Monsters of the Morning should be taken with a grain of salt, and please, you know.
We are idiots. We do not know.
Complete morons.
It's the exact same moment right now that I just realized I've sat and gum.
Stock advice.
So what you're going to want to do is in the next quarter.
Yes.
No, this has been my huge thing. Bitcoin right now, I think, is still at an all-time high right now. That it's at 12.8.
It is making news every morning. They said, once again, it's at a new high, and Bitcoin is blowing up like carrots.
I bought it when it was 1600.
So what's it at now?
It is at 12.8.
So it's 12.8. $180 for one stock.
And I got it when it was $1,600.
So I don't understand it, Ross. It's not real money.
But guess what? Neither is our money. Our government ditched the gold standard back in the 70s. Your $20 bill is not worth $20 at all.
But I can't take your Bitcoin and go buy a hooker.
Yes, you can.
Really?
You're just going to have to find a very progressive hooker.
Very tech-savvy hooker.
Very tech-savvy
You're telling me
hooker.
Hookers take Bitcoin.
I'm sure there's one.
There's got to be a couple. No, cryptocurrency is such a beautiful thing to me personally, is because it's a guy essentially just unzipped the government of the world.
That's currency from Krypton?
It's a kind of, but no. No, God, no. Jeez, Russ, no. No, it's currency that gets to skip the government. If you don't,
why do they call it skip? Skipped.
Yeah, well, that's Skipto currency. Crypto really makes you think of buying.
It really makes you think of buying from Superman.
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. They missed that out. Okay. They missed that opportunity.
Yeah, crypto is weed and gangs.
Yeah.
No, Superman, and you know.
But to give you an idea of a small example of why cryptocurrency is booming, the reason why is because, say, Carlos, you're in Norway, and
I'm
like,
Norway.
Yo, dude, I love your fish.
I love Norway.
But I'm here in Florida. And I'm like, yo, how can I buy that fish? We've got different currencies to make this exchange.
Oh.
We're going to get ripped through taxes from both of our governments.
That's true.
And it's going to take like more than a week to get this money deposited from my currency to your currency. Uh-huh. Or we go ahead and say, yo, let me just send you like How much is that fish? It's $4,000? Well, let me just send you $4,000 worth of Bitcoin, and then you just exchange it in your rate. Takes an hour.
I will sell you one Mike Trout.
No!
You want? Here's one for you.
But you can't sell him. He is priceless.
What's that, Angel? Back in 2012, a share of Bitcoin was $12.
Yeah.
And how much it worth today?
Today it's worth $12,800.
Okay, so and how much of this did you purchase?
This is from a real friend of mine who has a handful of this now. He's doing very well.
I bought my first purchases in cryptocurrency is I put $150 in Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum. Ethereum right now is at 460. So I had like 1.6 of Ethereum. I already sold that. I already copped that out. But the Bitcoin I still have, and that tenth of a Bitcoin that I paid 150 is now like 1,100.
Wow, man.
And that was within a year. Crazy liberal brother got super into cryptocurrency because he's super afraid of Donald Trump and was like, our economy's going to collapse. I need somewhere to put my money. He put $500 into those three. Ethereum, he had 500 Ethereum, bought Ethereum when it was 10. He made 20K.
So you can go if you wanted to go today and cash it in and be able to go buy a car, could you?
Yes.
How much would you get?
Where would you cash it in at?
You would deposit straight into your bank account, which I've already done. I've already taken out $500 of profit from Ethereum.
How does one amass cryptocurrency?
There is that's a fantastic question, man. What you're gonna want to do is check out just cryptocurrency wallets. There's plenty of websites. Kraken is one. GateHub is the one that I use. If you are listening and you're like, I need to get into cryptocurrency, the easiest way and also kind of somewhat of the worst because they give you a lot of high fees.
Yeah.
But I've made a fair amount of money off of Coinbase. Coinbase is downloadable on your phone. It's like the Coca-Cola of
cryptocurrency. Remember, this is Raw Sauce that's giving you this financial advice. Take it with a wink and a nod.
Let me say this. When I saw the story this morning, they said exactly what you're saying, and then they said afterwards, by the way, this is extremely volatile.
Extremely.
It could be worth nothing tomorrow.
And that is one of the pros, though, of cryptocurrencies, is that volatility, is that I know what's a good number to buy in. If it ever drops to 9K, I'm going to buy again, but just know and just wait until it hits 11, make my 250 for the week and rinse and repeat, which is what I've been doing these last like 2 to 3 months.
Isn't it a bubble though, essentially?
I will always say out loud that this will crash. When it's at 12.8 and I have not bought Bitcoin since it's hit 10K.
You know
it
will crash at some point.
I don't know. No one knows. Oh. It's like you said, is the volatility of these investments is what makes me attracted towards them.
So you would tell Fran to get her 20-year-old daughter for Christmas
$150 into XRP, which is a company called Ripple, and that is the cryptocurrency.
Ripple? You drink that,
again,
right?
All of this is a wink, wink, and a nod, nod.
It's a wink, wink, nod, nod, but it's like, I'll thank me in 10 years. If there's any cryptocurrency that could be the Bitcoin of 2010 and 2017, it would be XRP. They're the only cryptocurrency that's trying to take on the banks and say, hey, banks, you're getting left in the dust. Use our cryptocurrency and join us.
Also, too, Fran says in the PS, what do you give someone who wants for nothing? So you could take that advice with the Bitcoin. I personally say, like, the sheets that I talk about, like, I mean, you know, to get them, that's something you don't think about, but the Bull & Branch sheets are extremely comfortable and nice, and I don't think you can go wrong with that. What would you suggest? Someone who's, they think they have everything, what's a good gift to get where they're not going to dislike it?
Well, she said she's a minimalist, so the gift I'd give her is I'd take one of her pair of jeans, you know, because, like, they don't like that. They don't like stuff.
You
so,
steal stuff.
So you take stuff from them.
Yes, you open up the present, and there's your jeans, and you're like, these are my jeans. Yoink, no, they're not. And then you burn them.
Okay, all right. I tell you one thing you don't do. Don't do one of these things where you give the gift and it's like, here, I donated a chicken and 15 eggs to this village over in Africa.
That's really sweet, Russ. Why would you shame people from getting an awesome gift? Someone
gave me that 1 year and I'm like, thanks. Okay, whatever. We donated in your name, Russ.
I got it once and they handed it to me and I go, what the hell am I going to do with a small Indonesian girl?
Angel, what do you say? What do you give someone who wants for nothing? And do you have any stock advice?
Zero stock advice. I would say buy vinyl records at the Remix record store.
Angel just nailed it.
Or like a dinner out, right?
Yeah. Dinner, yeah.
Red Lobster.
Everybody eats.
You ask her, hey, you know, she's going to be like, hey, where are we going to go to dinner? And you go, I don't know. Where do you want to go to dinner? And she'll say someplace, and you take her there.
Hey, Guacamole, you're a girl. What would you want for Christmas if you thought you had everything?
Perfume.
Like a trip. There's, you know, I always like to go places. Isle of Wight Festival is its 50th anniversary, and it's a killer lineup.
What's the lineup at Isle of Wight?
It's the Killers. It's Liam Gallagher.
Jordy.
It's, oh my gosh, I'm at a complete blank. The Blossoms are on there.
Baja Men.
No, not them. But I would like to go to Isle of Wight Festival.
That's a little bit to ask for Christmas, though, isn't it?
I mean, no, it's not.
Nelson. Okay. Nelson is also going to be
there. Depeche Mode?
No. Yes.
Jewel. Jewel will be there.
No.
Yeah, I'm down to bump
experiences,
some
jewels. Not stuff.
Ah, nice. That's what a minimalist wants, is good experiences.
I would like the experience to Isle of Wight Festival.
I would also just listen to her and buy her a belt.
Yeah.
Just get her a belt.
Get her just like a black belt.
Wait, bring it back to where it started. Very good. Fran, thank you so much. If you have a question you want us to kick around and help you out, you can always email me, russ@wtks.com. I have a pile of these that I need to get to, and I'll try to get to them some more tomorrow, but we appreciate when you send the email. Thank you so very much for that. And I want to remind you about the Christmas Wish show. We're going to do the live show on December the 13th, but you can participate with Christmas Wish now by going to our website at monsters.fm. And Blagamala, you're connecting people as we speak, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I have a phone call to make one wish come true tomorrow, and there's a couple that I know I can take care of, but there's some that need people's help, so please go check them out. Grant these wish, these people. It's hard times at Christmas, so help out if you can.
And we really need that those of you who can't, who are doing well, and you can grant some wishes. This is granting wishes for people that are real people in our community. So you can do that on our website at monsters.fm. And remember, and Ross Pageant, please, we need you on December the 22nd. It's the Monster Christmas Telethon. We're raising money for the Coalition for the Homeless, and we need talent. And I know you play piano.
Yo, I can play piano.
That would be awesome if you could do a little Christmas piano thing.
Yeah.
Are you down?
A little Christmas freestyle?
Yeah, a little Christmas
freestyle. Yeah.
A little jingle to my mangle. Whoa.
Yeah.
You're down with that, right?
I'm down.
But we got to bring the blind guy, though.
Yeah. We need him yelling at the speaker.
Not very good.
Carlos, what you got going on?
Check me out on social media. It's To The Top Carlos. That's To The Top Carlos on Instagram and Twitter. I'm always posting a lot of fun stuff of what I get to do.
All right, and then Angel, you can hear Angel every Friday night from 10 until midnight. It's What the Hell is Angel Listen to? It's an awesome show. He plays music that he likes, and you don't ever request anything because he won't play.
Yeah, it's good fun, so definitely check it out.
All right, very good. And then Ross Pageant, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday, Olivia.
Hey, we want to thank John McBride for coming in. That was awesome.
I missed it.
Do go to our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. At 3 o'clock is the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips 5. Then you got Tom and Dan, then Real Laughs, AD on the radio. And we're back tomorrow to do our thing from Ross Pageant, Blogging Molly, Angel, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, Mary Man, Russ, I wear Batman underwear, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't gotta go home.
We gotta get the hell up out of here. Sure.
Now giving employee discounts on stuff you don't pay for. Yet. Real Radio 104.1.